bunch of jokers and tokers who spend their lunch hacky-sacking the sound garden.
Ooh!
The team presents the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. Colorado sports leader, the team.
Rise and shine, welcome in. Welcome in, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. We always appreciate the time you spend with us in the program. Avalanche get the overtime win last night. Mikko Rantanen knocking more of that rust off. Carl Soderberg setting him up, and Rantanen scores the game-winning goal in overtime. That 10 minutes into overtime as the Avalanche get the win last night. And we had Connor McGahee on yesterday, voice of the Avalanche. We'll talk about when you're up 3-1. The odds of you coming back aren't very good. The odds of you advancing are outstanding. So the Avalanche get the win last night. Rantanen with the overtime goal. Grubauer turned back 35 shots. So Colorado with a chance to pull off the upset, which we've already seen upsets happen already in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Colorado can join, well, Columbus Blue Jackets, for example, as upset winners in the first round.
I like that if you're the Avs. You won't even be the only 8-1 upset if you advance.
Yeah, you won't. You won't even be probably the best upset.
You won't even be the most dominating one either.
Yeah, because 4-0 sweep for the Blue Jackets over the winner of the President's Trophy, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Did you see the tweet the Tampa Bay Lightning sent out apologizing to their fans?
Well, that's probably for good reason. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, they laid an egg.
Yes, they did. But Colorado did not last night. 3-2 win to move into a position tomorrow night to clinch the series and move on to the next round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nuggets, they're going to try to grab the lead in their series tonight. We'll have that game on the team starting at 6:35. So we have a lot to get to this morning. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Coming up a little bit, our friend Buffalo Mark will join us at 7:40. Talk about the Avs win last night. Give us some final thoughts. Well, no, he's your friend too. Come on, don't be that way. Don't be that way.
Hey, your friend.
And since we won't be here tomorrow, thought okay, we'll get Mark on today. Get his thoughts about the Avs win last night and some of the other playoff matchups from last night, and also heading the weekend. So that'll be coming up at 7:40 this morning, and then Crown's Play Athlete of the Week sometime in the 8 o'clock hour. Still trying to nail that down this morning. And then Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Chuco World Series, will join us at 9 this morning. And our friend Beetle, Ernest Beetleman, will join us at 9:20 this morning. Also in the garage, NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Oh, lots of fun, lots of excitement.
Busy show today.
Busy show. And, of course, last night they had the big unveil of the NFL schedule, which we already knew who everybody
was
playing.
We knew the wares.
But now we know the time, the place, the primetime games, all those things, with the schedule coming out last night. Now, our question today is, as a Broncos fan, which games are the two games you're the most excited to see this season? Or if you're not a Broncos fan, maybe for your team, and Buckeye, I'll ask you this question later in 4-down territory. What are the two games for your team that you're the most excited about? Or just as an NFL fan that you're the most excited to watch? I think not being being a Broncos fan, but I'm just going to say I'm just being a football fan. Mm-hmm. Week 14, Chiefs, Patriots should be really, really good.
Yeah, that one should be good. I've really not done a deep dive into the schedule. With so much going on last night, it's really didn't get a chance to really dig in and pour over the schedule. So I'll have to do that over the course of the show.
Yeah. Well, you'll have until 8:40 to kind of make a decision on which two games that you're really most excited about for the Browns. Would one of them be against my team? Maybe.
When it comes to proximity, yeah, I guess that's exciting.
You know, just taking a cursory look at the schedule this morning. I guess I'm going to have to say this. I'm going to have to do it. Not that it's the number one. There, you get two, and it can be 1A, 1B, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That Browns game, because of all the hype about the Browns.
Yeah.
The Browns beat the Broncos last year. If the Broncos had that long stranglehold on Cleveland, then with the expectation of what the Browns are supposed to be, that game coming up in week 9 in Denver, I'm excited. I'm interested in that game.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in all these games as a Broncos fan, but that's one that I kind of go, okay. That's one that I would normally not... Normally I would go, no way would I ever be excited about the Browns and Broncos. Times have changed.
Mm-hmm.
The teams have changed. Yeah,
I mean,
and so yeah, I've got to put that one on my list. And, you know, this is... And maybe the you can pick one divisional game. Because you could always say, well, the Raiders, it's always a big one. And the Chiefs are always big ones. And the Chargers are always big. You get your selection today. One divisional game that you're excited about. One out-of-division game you're excited about. And I would think that the Chiefs game, week 7 in Denver, that'll be a Thursday night game, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that I'm excited about. That's one that gets the juices flowing. I'm almost tempted to maybe pull maybe the Browns game out for the Packers, but I'm not going to. They will be going to Green Bay for that game.
Mm-hmm.
I got to think about that a little bit. Broncos against Aaron Rodgers. Fangio gets to face Rodgers and the Packers again. I'm still leaning toward Baker, though. Baker and the Browns against the Broncos as my out-of-division game that I'm looking the most forward to. So your thoughts on that today, you can text us on the Bob Scott RV team text line, 970-242-1340. Or you're getting ready to go to work this morning, no time to grab breakfast. Oh, there's always time, though, to stop by Chick-fil-A and grab a breakfast burrito. They have a fantastic selection of items at the Rimrock Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, the chicken biscuit.
Oh, the chicken biscuit
oh,
is,
man.
Well, it's, I mean, come on, Chick-fil-A chicken
is
legendary.
It's crack for fat kids.
And then you put it on a delicious biscuit.
Buttery.
And then, you're talking a little piece of heaven there, my friend. The Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. You can call us 970-242-1340. So the two games go in division that you're looking the most forward to,
mm-hmm.
and one out of division. And if you just have some general thoughts on games you're looking forward to that have nothing to do with your favorite team, just that's going to be a great matchup. I got to go week 14, Chiefs, New England Patriots, AFC Championship game rematch. Rematch of also they played twice last year. And
week 2, Saints, Rams.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. And I tell
in
you,
in L.A., the NFL can... fix that game for the Rams and not have to worry about killing their officials.
No kidding. I will say this much, though. There's a stretch of 4 road games, the Broncos, in 5 weeks. And all 4 road games are in the East. They have that dreaded 11 o'clock mountain start time.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
I'm not a fan of... playing your division games, like playing, for example, yeah, there's a bye week in there, but in the span of 3 games, the Browns play the Steelers both times. You know, and over the course of the last 4 weeks of the regular season, they play the Bengals twice and the Ravens once. My dream NFL schedule would have the first 3 weeks be division games and the last 3 weeks be division games, and then you stuff all the other ones in the middle. But that's not going to happen. That would be my.
You know what? You are the first person. I'm going to give you credit for this. You're the first person I've ever heard say that, and I do like that idea.
It would be kind of fun. You get your division games right out of the gate, you know, and then you play the season, and then coming down week 16, 15, 16, 17, you play the rest of your division games.
I really like that. Start out games that will decide your division, opponents to start the season that are in your division, you wrap it up.
Yeah.
With those same teams to finish up the season. I like that a lot. I really do. That's something, look, NFL, listen to this guy over here, my good friend, the Buckeye boy. I think that'd be super intriguing. That would be. And the Broncos kind of sort of do that, opening up with the Raiders, and then they finish with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I like that idea a lot.
I know how they do. They're now got division games week 17. Just expand that a little bit. 15, 16, 17 division games, 1, 2, and 3 division games.
Yeah. I like that. Boy. They need to tap into your occasionally keen little mind. They do.
Every once in a while.
Occasionally, you come up with something pretty good. That's a good one. I like that. So text us today, Bob Scott RV Team text line, or call us Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Kentucky Blues got one this morning. Monday night, Raiders Broncos. My other team is the Steelers, so I'm looking forward to when they play the Jets, obviously. Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear from you today. Our quick question today, what's better, walk-off homer, overtime game-winning goal?
I got to go with the walk-off for me.
Yeah, I do too. Both are fantastic, but yeah, I have to go walk-off homer.
I know game-winning goal, both teams have the chance to do it, right, home or road. You get a chance to either completely hit a mute button on 18,000 people or just blow the roof off the joint, like what happened last night at Pepsi Center. But also, they can kind of happen fluky, right? You hit something off a guy's skate, it goes into the goal, the game's over. A home run, no matter what you want to say about it, dimensions of the ballpark, whatever, they're not really that fluky. You got to catch one to get it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, a guy can hang a curve, slider backs up, and...
But how many times do we see a 92-mile-an-hour fastball over the heart of the plate and a guy fouls it off?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I go with walk-off homer as well.
Don't get me wrong. Overtime game winners are exciting.
They're sensational.
And it's, you know, last night was essentially an eject button on my seat. I jumped right out of it, so... That's fantastic, but for me personally, if I were to do it, I'd take the walk-off dinger.
All right, so walk-off home run or game-winning goal? Text us, Bob Scott RV Team text line, 970-242-1340. All right, time to get to...
What's happening?
And you want to cue some Avalanche music for me here? That'd be great.
Yeah, give me a second.
I'd love to have some Avalanche music.
Let me warm up the orchestra here real quick.
Okay, very good. All right, Mikko Rantanen scored the game winner in overtime as the Avs beat Calgary 3-2 last night in Denver. Rantanen scored about 10 minutes into overtime to help Colorado grab a 3-1 series lead.
Yeah, obviously, tonight, take great team effort again. You know, we go down in the third, but there's a lot to believe in that this team, and we believe we can do it every night. Obviously, in an OT, Carl made an unreal pass, so I was just trying to get it to the net, and this time went in, it was big.
Avs goalie Philip Grubauer made 35 saves. The Avalanche head to Calgary tomorrow night with a chance to clinch the series. The Team Sports Network will join the game in progress around 8 o'clock after Colorado Mesa Baseball. Speaking of the Mavericks, they open up their series in New Mexico Highlands tonight, 6:05, over at Sam Saplesio Field. No Sunday game because of Easter. We'll have both the games with a doubleheader tomorrow starting at 2:45 when the Mavericks take on New Mexico Highlands tomorrow over at Sam Saplesio Field. The Nuggets are in San Antonio tonight to meet the Spurs. Denver looking to grab a 2-1 series lead. Jason Kosmiski with the call tonight, 6:35 on the Team Sports Network. Also, the Rockies, after a day off yesterday, they host Bryce Harper in Philadelphia tonight. The Denver Broncos open and close the season with longtime rival Oakland after the NFL announced its schedule last night. New coach Vic Fangio and the Broncos play at the Raiders Monday night on September 9th. Kickoff is set for 8:20. Fangio faces his former team when Denver hosts Chicago at 2:25 on September 15th. Broncos travel to Green Bay on September 22nd, home to Jacksonville on September 29th, and at the L.A. Chargers October 6th. The Broncos face AFC West champion Kansas City in Denver on October 17th. That is a Thursday night game. And Baker Mayfield and the Browns in Denver on November 3rd. Denver has road games at Indianapolis, Minnesota, Buffalo, and Houston. Catch the Broncos this season on 96.1 K-Star and 98.7, 14-9 of the team in rifle. Numerous local athletes signed letters of intent on Wednesday. Six Fertile Monument athletes signed letters of intent with wrestler Casey Hudson signing with Colorado Mesa. Track and field standout Landry Hansen signing with Concordia University Irvine in California. And Katarina Otero Sanchez signing to play lacrosse at Johnson & Wales in Denver. Three Wildcat volleyball players signed letters with Campbell Atkins signing with Erskine College in South Carolina. Morgan Lanning with Midland College in Texas. And Gabby Rigsby at Bluefield College in Virginia. Palisade basketball player Zane Haas signed to play at Nebraska Wesleyan. Grand Junction Tiger J.T. Skalecki will join a state championship teammate Hunter Tobias at Queens University this fall. Skalecki says while the wrestling program at Queens in Charlotte, North Carolina is young, it's definitely on the rise.
Talking to the coaches, and we had found out that they're getting a new coaching staff member who went to Iowa and really good AA to Iowa. The whole program as a whole may not be experienced, but those bigger guys are experienced, and I think we can bring something to the table there.
Tobiasen says that both Skalecki and himself were courted by Queens at regionals this year, in part because of a connection to head coach Cole Allison.
So the assistant coach out there right now, he actually wrestled with our high school coach in high school on the national team. I think he told our coach, if they wrestle anything like you, I want him. So at regionals, they flew out and they saw us. And right after the tournament, they offered us our athletic piece.
Also, Grand Junction Tigers football player Donovan Andrus will continue to play football at Stoker Stadium. He signed yesterday to play defensive line for Coach Russ Martin in Colorado Mesa. Andrus says that Coach Martin appreciated not only his on-the-field play, but also overcoming personal tragedy and his dedication to improving on the field and also in the classroom.
When I talked to Coach Martin, he heard my story, and seeing the type of dedication and work ethic that you would need to get through, like, losing your parents and making it through school and playing sports and, like, staying eligible and everything like that takes a different type of person. That's something that he wanted on his team. I'm happy to play for him.
Also, Grand Junction pitcher Jacob Melcher signed his letter of intent to play college baseball at Concordia in Seward, Nebraska. Melcher says the big draw for him was the family atmosphere of the program.
When I toured there, it seemed like everyone already knew me in a way. They wanted me there, and you know, I felt like I was already part of that community.
All right, congratulations to all those athletes who signed letters of intent yesterday. All right, 7:19, Jim along with the Buckeye boys. So the in-division game and out-of-division game that you're looking the most forward to as a Broncos fan, or just games in general, maybe the two that you're looking the most forward to in the NFL schedule this season. So we'd love to hear from you today on that. Also, a quick question. What do you like better, a walk-off homer or a game-winning overtime goal, which we did see last night, Mikko Rantanen, as the Avalanche came from behind to win last night in overtime over Calgary 3-2. So text us, Bob's Got RV Team text line, 970-242-1340. Also, I want to welcome aboard once again Joe Walsh and Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We will take a break, and we'll come back and look at last night, the Avs' victory over Calgary at the Pepsi Center. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Colorado Sports Leader.
The Jim Davis Show. The meat in the broadcasting sandwich.
Ew!
On Grand Junction 101.1 and 1340, the Team Sports Network.
So, you want an all-wheel drive sedan? Then you go to Honda, Toyota, Nissan. Red Rock Nissan has the all-new 2019 all-wheel drive Altima. Take that, Camry and Accord. The Altima costs thousands less than the two-wheel drive Camry or Accord. Plus, get a whopping 36 miles to the gallon. Move over, Camry and Accord. The all-wheel drive 2019 Altima is here. This month, get it for only $21,900. That's right, $21,900 at Red Rock Nissan on Highway 6 and 50. Think Nissan, think Red Rock Nissan.
One night only, 3 hours only. Sundance Marine is having a huge blowout sale April 25th. Everything in the pro shop will be marked down 20 to 80% for Sundance Marine's beach party. Save on over 500 life jackets, 200 boards, wake, surf, paddle, ski and skate, tubes, tow ropes, wake helmets, water toys, everything you need on your boat, in the pool, or at the lake. One night only, 3 hours only. Thursday, April 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Sundance Marine. Just west of 23 Road at 2291 Tall Grass Drive.
Sundance Marine, come on, get a boat.
Team Weather.
Sunny today, Grand Junction and Delta, high around 68, 63 in Montrose. Tonight, clear and 44. Tomorrow, sunny and 75. Mostly sunny, 77 Saturday. Easter Sunday, partly sunny and 71.
I'm Staff Sergeant Mark Anthony Madrid.
Staff Sergeant Samantha Cowell.
Staff Sergeant Alex.
Staff Sergeant William Lewis, and I am proud to defend my family and our nation.
The Air Force Reserve is part of the story of this great nation.
I'm grateful that I have a chance to wear the uniform of the heroes that went before me.
I'm proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference in the world.
Every day, men and this nation serve as reserve citizen airmen. Even as technology evolves and changes, our commitment to defend and protect this nation remains steadfast. We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving. We celebrate our proud history and look towards an exciting and uniting future. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member.
And I'm proud to serve in the United States.
And I am proud to protect our country.
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
AFReserve.com. Jim Davis Show.
I thought they spoke gibberish.
Well, they speak a blend of two languages mixed with gibberish.
It's worldwide at theteam1340.com and on iTunes, the Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 7:23. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Schedules released last night. Broncos will open and close the season with Chucky and the Raiders. My in-division game I'm looking forward to, that Thursday night game with Kansas City. Out-of-division game, I'm sticking with the Browns at the moment, though the Packers and Aaron Rodgers... A resurgent Andrew Luck and the Colts. They're contenders. But the fact that the Broncos lost to the Browns the last time they met, great expectations of Baker Mayfield in Cleveland this year.
Yeah. Playoff caliber team and the Broncos. Sorry.
It's okay. You know, it's for all the years of abuse that you've taken at the hands of me and others.
Yep.
We're
still getting it on the text line this morning.
We've got to put our big boy pants on.
Yeah.
And just accept that that's where things are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Browns had a better record last year. Browns beat the Broncos. That's the reality of it. That's where we are right now.
It's life as you know it.
Yeah. I don't want this to be life the way it is forever going forward. But I'm willing to live with it. I mean, I have to live with it. I'm not willing to live with it. I have to. I'm going to be a snarky turd and bring up all the other stuff like you've accused me of bringing up before.
Mm-hmm.
Have I made one reference to any of those historical great moments for the Broncos? No.
Not this week at all.
And I'm not going to, because that's not fair. It's not right. So in-division game, out-of-division game, you're looking forward to, and maybe the two games just in the schedule in total that you're looking forward to. You referenced week two, Rams-Saints,
mm-hmm.
first rematch of last year's now infamous NFC Championship game.
Yep.
Week 14, get your AFC Championship game rematch with the Chiefs and the New England Patriots that I think is going to be obviously an intriguing game. Because you'd like to think both those teams are probably, at that point, are still in contention for the playoffs or in contention to win their division, you would think. Let's see. Roger, because I mentioned Joe Walsh, Joe, who's the owner of Chick-fil-A here in town, and now sponsoring our phone line, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Roger has his top five Joe Walsh songs. Okay?
All right. Way to be on top.
That's okay, though. It's all right. Because I'm a big Joe Walsh fan, so I'm both the man here in town,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, the member of the Eagles, the legendary Joe Walsh.
I'm a much bigger fan of the local Chick-fil-A owner, Buckeye in good standing, Joe Walsh,
yeah.
as opposed to the Eagles, Joe Walsh.
Well, I've never met the Eagles, Joe Walsh. I have met our local Joe Walsh.
The Eagles, Joe Walsh, is not an Ohio State fan, so he loses a little bit of standing for me.
Let's see. Roger has The Confessor. Great song. Great album, great song. Things, Average Guy, Ordinary Average Guy is a great song. Picking Up Dog Doo in His Yard. Over and Over and Vote for Me. Boy, you left Meadows out of there, though. Meadows is a great song.
Ah, shucks.
Meadows is an awesome song. But that's okay. Those are your top five. And I would agree with probably two or three of those songs. Probably.
Boring.
Well, you don't like Joe Walsh?
Not a Joe Walsh fan.
Have you ever listened to The Confessor?
No.
It is a great song.
Not a Joe Walsh fan. Not even a big Eagles fan.
Personally, I like Joe's stuff better when he's not with the Eagles.
Hotel California ruined it for all of them for me. It's such a long, boring song.
Oh, stop it.
It's awful.
Stop it. Now you're just embarrassing yourself.
I would much rather listen to Pink Floyd than that song. And you know my feelings of Pink Floyd. And talk about...
Boring!
Another one from Frager on point here with this text. What? Division games up front? No way. Look at the Browns. Most years they would be out of contention in division by week four.
Wow, one segment. You turned on my idea. You liked it to begin with, but...
From Frank, walk off all the way, because we're going walk off home run or overtime goal. Great idea, Buckeye boy. I also think Thursday night football is not good. Too tough a sport. Guys need recovery and preparation time. Go Avs, Rocks, and Nugs. And let's see from Keith. Overtime game winner is the best ending to a game. Walk off homer occurs when only one team can win. With the overtime game winner, the game can end at any time, which is a valid point. However, the walk-off homer gives you the thrill of making the other team watch as you complete the game-ending play by rounding the bases. I think maybe that's why we like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just have to stand there and watch.
Yeah.
Watch them slowly put the dagger into you as the guy rounds the bases
right after
hitting the ball out of the yard.
It's aptly named because you are just slinking off the field.
It is Bruce Lee, like reaching into your chest, pulling out and holding
your
beating heart.
Yeah.
Why you have to stand there and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little bit like that. It'd be a bit of a gruesome comparison this morning, but, that's the one I have at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, so text is Bob Scott RV Team Text Line, 970-242-1340. Also call us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Same number, 970-242-1340. One other quick thing I want to get to before the Avs from last night. Colorado Mesa softball team, they're sixth in the first South Central Region poll. This is going to feed into your, and well, mine to a degree, anger at the Texas schools.
Yep.
The Mavs are 35-6. They have the best record of the top 10 teams in the region, but they're number six. Texas A&M Kingsville is 33-8. They're the number one team. Dixie State's the only other RMAC school in the poll at number 10 right now.
I told you.
I know.
That's how it is.
It is how it is. Whether we like it or not.
They're 35-6. There are five 10-loss teams in the top 10 nationally.
But in their region, they're number six. Don't get it.
The baseball team's probably number six, too, and they're ranked number one nationally.
All right, 7:30.
Two Texas conferences and the RMAC. I'm not saying.
You're just saying. All right. I'm saying that the Avalanche are on the verge of clinching their series with Calgary.
But Texas has them tied 2-2. Just saying. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Chance to take down the number one seed in the Western Conference as the Avalanche got the overtime win last night 3-2. Over the Calgary Flames, Mikko Rantanen with the game-winning goal in overtime last night. The Avs 3-2 win after the game. Jared Bednar talking about Mikko coming up with the game winner.
He was rusty game one. I mean, that's going to happen when you miss that amount of time. I really felt, though, late in the game, game one, there was a handful of shifts he put together where I started to see his game real strong on the puck, moving his feet, making plays. And I feel like he's gradually gotten better. And tonight when I put him back with Mac and Miami, they were real good. And obviously the release he had on his goal the other night and tonight, it's on and off his tape, lightning fast, and finding the back of the net. So, I mean, he's playing really well right now. Our top guys, they're impact players right now for us almost every shift, and that's what we need them to be.
All right, so Jared Bednar on the Rantanen goal last night in overtime, set up by Carl Soderberg. Grubauer, 35 saves last night, had a big save in overtime last night. To bail out Colorado's bacon in that one last night in overtime. But for the Avalanche, remember how bad this team was during that, almost that 2 month period?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the fact that the Western Conference didn't just suck this year, they would not have been a playoff team. This team looks nothing like that team.
No, this is a team that was on fire at the end of the season, on fire in November, December. It's a completely different squad right now.
Yeah, Smith got a little banged up in the first period last night. Their goalie, Mike Smith. I wonder how much of an impact that had throughout the course of the game the rest of the way.
Yeah, there's no telling. I mean, it's not like they just went out there and put up another six spot on him. So, I mean,
he still played relatively well.
And, you know, it was just a talent goal, really, I think, with Rantanen in the overtime session. That's how good the Avs skaters are at times. At their peak performance, they're faster than most everybody else in the league.
Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, they're just phenomenal on the ice, and the way they can move the puck around between the three of them is incredible.
Look, the Avs, 108 shots on goal the last two games, which are both on wins for Colorado. They had 56 shots on goal in Game 3, the most in a playoff game in franchise history.
They're peppering the crap out of Mike Smith.
The formula that Jared Bednar, the mandate he's given his guys, is simple. Lots of shots on Mike Smith. Keep shooting, because eventually you're going to find the net, and it has worked out. And their speed has allowed them to get those opportunities.
Oh, yeah, and they have a lot of, I won't say open shots, but uncontested shots, like just straight on Mike Smith, because guys just can't move. They can't transition. They can't close out on the Avs shooters as much when they move the puck as good as they can. And it's amazing the number of shots they're putting on Mike Smith. The fact that here in Denver, they only had 9 goals. Like you said, they put on 100 shots. They only made 10% of them. That's pretty good.
So tomorrow night, a chance for the Avalanche to clinch the series. We'll have that following Colorado Mesa Baseball right around 8 o'clock tomorrow night on the Team Sports Network. Tonight, it's the Nuggets in Game 3 of their playoff series. They go to San Antonio, who had one of the best home records this season. Matter of fact, remember correctly, Denver had the best home record, and the Spurs were not far behind that.
I believe that's correct.
And so you have a big home court advantage for San Antonio. Of course, Nuggets have some momentum coming off the big fourth quarter, led by Jamal Murray in their win the other night. But one of the differences the last time out was, remember Game 1? San Antonio dictated the pace.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets in the fourth quarter dictated the pace. In that first game, Denver didn't have any fast break points. They were able to get some things going in regard to playing up tempo in that win the other night. But most notably, just Jamal Murray being insanely good from the perimeter the other night. So San Antonio, they're going to want to try to get back to what they did Game 1, control the tempo, not let the Nuggets get up and down the floor. And also, the Nuggets, their bench needs to keep producing. You had a much better game from Monte Morris the other night. The bench played much better. Game 1, the bench was not great at all. And for San Antonio, their bench played really well in Game 1. Game 2, their bench did not play particularly well. And so that's something for the Nuggets that has to continue. Their bench has to continue to outperform San Antonio. And that, of course, includes tonight's game in San Antonio.
Yeah, and my worry is the Nuggets in Game 2, I believe, they used their home court advantage to their advantage. They used the altitude. They picked up the pace a little bit more. They picked up the rotation a little bit. They changed it just slightly, you know, so they kind of used all the things to their advantage, something they won't have in San Antonio. They can pick up the pace, but they need a hot start to take that crowd out of the game. If it's close, if the crowd is into it, then the Nuggets are probably not going to win because it's a low-scoring game. And you're going to be in the 70s and 80s as you get into the fourth quarter, and that's not where the Nuggets play their best.
And the Spurs are a much better defensive team at home with that crowd. They're 32-9 at home this season. It's going to be a tough test for the Nuggets tonight.
Yep.
Can that momentum carry over from the win the other night? Jason Kosminski will have the game 6:35 tonight on the Team Sports Network. So we also have the Rockies starting their series tonight with the Philadelphia Phillies as Bryce Harper comes to town. Zach Eflin, the righty, goes for Philadelphia tonight. Eflin 2-1 with a 3.94 ERA so far this season. Kyle Freeland goes for the Rockies tonight. A very un-Kyle Freeland-like 1-3 with a 5.40 ERA. So the Rockies hope they can continue what they've been able to do on this three-game winning streak, which has been, well, finally scoring some runs in the first inning, providing early run support for their starting pitchers, getting great efforts from their starting pitchers, but having the offense, finally the run support, finally there with the two wins in San Diego and, of course, that final win in San Francisco on Sunday.
Yeah, and they're going to need that offense with this crew of Phillies coming to Coors Field because you talked about Bryce Harper. You have Bryce Harper, you have Andrew McCutchen in there, you have JT Realmuto. That's an incredibly long lineup. You know, once in National League, once you get to 7-8, you got a catcher in there who he's kind of like a Chris Iannetta, Tony Walters type, right? He's hitting 230, and if you groove one, he'll hit it a long ways, but he's really not a threat. Then you got the pitcher. But you take a look at the Phillies, they're eighth in the order guys, like Michael Franco, he's got six home runs. Odubel Herrera's got a home run. He's hitting 270. Cesar Hernandez has got a couple of home runs for a second baseman. That's an incredibly long lineup that the Phillies are bringing to town.
All right, 7:38, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. And your thoughts on the NFL schedule release last night. Broncos will open and close the season with the Oakland Raiders. The Broncos will get that late game, that second game of Monday Night Football to open up the season. The game in division, the one game in division you're looking the most forward to watching, mine is the game on September 17th, the Kansas City game. It's a Thursday night game. It'll be a Fox game. Out of division, I'm still going to stick with the Broncos and the Browns. You have a lot of attention on this Browns team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk. Maybe hyping them up too much. Maybe not. Maybe the Browns will live up to all the expectations. But for the Broncos, that will be a game that could potentially... Oh, who would have ever thought this? Measure how far they have come.
Four primetime games for the Browns this year.
Which, how many did you have last year?
We've had two Monday night games in the last 10 years combined.
Yeah, see, so.
We got two this year.
Shows the Baker Mayfield effect. And, hey, that you're actually a good football team.
Yeah.
And that you're relevant now will be part of certainly... I would think primetime games to come.
Let's hope.
All right, 7:39. We'll get the sound check in a moment. Who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line this morning?
This is our hockey update, pal.
Okay, so we will wait for him. We'll talk with Buffalo Mark in a moment. But right now, we need to get to a little sound check this morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, when you're in need of a sound check, you can Google two names. The first being Mike Francesa. The second being one Charles Barkley. He was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week talking about who's going to be making the Lakers head coaching hire.
If you were going to pick somebody, handpick a head coach for the Lakers, who would you pick right now?
Well, that's not my job to pick the head coach. That's LeBron's job. He's going to pick the head coach.
Who do you think LeBron's going to pick?
I think he's going to pick Ty Lue, somebody he trusts. I mean, you know, because the Lakers are really on the clock right now. I mean, listen, we got to be realistic. LeBron's probably, you know, the Lakers are really on the clock as far as being a contender. I mean, LeBron's going into his 17th year. They got to get another superstar, or they won't be any good for the next 3 or 4 years.
I do like Chuck keeping it real. It's LeBron who's going to pick.
Come on, let's be honest.
And it's probably going to be Ty Lue, a guy he can boss around.
A guy that's willing to let LeBron assert himself and
former Laker great Ty Lue.
Former Laker great. That's a big stretch, but yeah, he is a former Laker. Great.
Yes. Former Laker bench player.
All right, 7:42. We will take a break. We'll come back, and Buffalo Mark will join us next to talk about some of the NHL matchups and, of course, the Avalanche with the overtime win last night over Calgary. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. Streaming on the team app. And you can ask Alexa to play 1340 The Team. Colorado sports leader, The Team.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Wrangler Performance Series, denim that's made to move with you. Try out a pair today. Today's birthday shout-out goes to Miguel Cabrera. The Tiger Slugger is a lock for first ballot entry into the Hall of Fame. After all, the Venezuelan native who won a World Series ring as a Marlins rookie back in 2003 is an 11-time All-Star, a two-time American League MVP, and in 2012 he became the first Triple Crown winner since Carl Yastrzemski back in 1967. So the four-time batting champion knows a thing or two about hitting. Launch angles have become all the rage in today's game. However, Cabrera is not a big proponent of that. His batting philosophy is simple. Hit the ball hard, look for line drives, and use the whole field. There's plenty of wisdom in that approach for sure, and it's hard to argue with Cabrera's results over the years. So happy 36th birthday, Miggy. Have a great day. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Winter's over, and lucky lawns everywhere are getting Scotts Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer from the Home Depot. Right now, buy a bag and you'll save up to $25 on a bag of Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Prevent crabgrass, weed and feed your grass, and save up to $25? Guess your lawn not the only lucky one. Today is the day for doing, with savings on weed and feed when you buy a bag of Turf Builder with Halts. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $25 savings on a 43-pound bag, select and vary by store.
Every morning, the McDonald's kitchen is a symphony. A sizzling, toasty McMuffin symphony. To the egg! While other grab-and-go breakfast sandwiches are kind of one note. It's time to wake up breakfast. Wake up your breakfast with a fresh cracked egg on every McMuffin sandwich every day at McDonald's.
Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. Miko Rantanen scored the game winner in overtime as the Avalanche beat Calgary 3-2 last night in Denver. Colorado grabs a 3-1 series lead as they head back to Calgary tomorrow night. With the Avs having a chance to clinch on Friday night, the Team Sports Network will join the game in progress around 8 tomorrow night after Colorado Mesa baseball. The Nuggets look to grab a 2-1 series late tonight when they head to San Antonio to meet the Spurs. Coverage starts at 6:35 tonight on the team. Numerous local athletes signed letters of intent on Wednesday. Six Florida Monument athletes signed letters of intent, with wrestler Casey Hudson signing with Colorado Mesa, track and field standout Landry Hansen signing with Concordia University Irvine in California, and Catarino Otero Sanchez signing to play lacrosse at Johnson & Wales in Denver. Three Wildcat volleyball players signed letters, with Campbell Atkins signing with Erskine College in South Carolina, Morgan Lanning with Midland College in Texas, and Gabby Rigsby with Bluefield College in Virginia. Palisade basketball player Zane Haas signed to play at Nebraska Wesleyan. Grand Junction Tigers football player Donovan Andrus will continue to play football at Stoker Stadium. He signed yesterday with Colorado Mesa. Andrus's coach Russ Martin appreciated not only his on-the-field play, but his overcoming a personal tragedy and his dedication to his sport.
When I talked to Coach Martin, he heard my story, and seeing the type of dedication and work ethic that you would need to get through, like, losing your parents and making it through school and playing sports and, like, staying eligible and everything like that, takes a different type of person. That's something that he wanted on his team. I'm happy to play for him.
Andrus will play defensive line for the Mavericks.
Spring is in the air, and Big O Tires is having their Spring Savings Spectacular. Don't miss these great deals on high-quality tires and guaranteed auto service. Right now, take $20 off each preventative maintenance service or one-year alignment. That's $20 off each service. And if you need new tires, Big O has their buy three tires, get one free sale going on now. Save on select sets of four. But don't delay. These deals end Saturday. Big O Tires is the team you trust. Visit BigOTires.com for more savings.
I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMDB News Center. State and federal law enforcement are trying to put together what led a Florida high school student to get on a plane to Denver, buy a shotgun, and make threats against schools in the Denver area. 18-year-old Sol Pais was found dead yesterday morning. CBS reporting a website belonging to Pais is filled with references to depression, isolation, suicide, and guns. The Mesa County Coroner's Office has released the identity of a man killed in a crash on Patterson Road Sunday night. 55-year-old Justin Welsh was not wearing a seatbelt when his car left the road and crashed. The report says Welsh had been drinking and tested positive for THC, although it's not clear how long the THC had been in his system. Grand Junction has a new homeless camping policy for public areas. An ordinance passed last night allows camping when there is no space in local shelters. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KNZZ News Center.
Western Slope FM Sports, 101 Grand Junction, 98.7 Rifle, and 102.1 Delta. The team. The Jim Davis Show.
They've got to get a clue. But no one seems to be doing it.
On in Grand Junction, 101.1 and 1340. The Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 747. Jim along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Avalanche get the overtime win last night. Mikko Rantanen with a couple of goals, but the game winner, huge last night, 3-2. The Avalanche get the win. We're off tomorrow, so we thought we'd bring on Buffalo Mark today. Good morning, Buffalo Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you today?
Doing fine, doing fine. We always appreciate the time. And, boy, Mikko Rantanen. Look, we can all acknowledge Nathan McKinnon has been outstanding in the series against Calgary, but now that Rantanen's kind of knocked the rust off, all of a sudden he's become a huge thorn in the side of the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, you know, they just don't have an answer. And you know what? Gabe Landeskog is really kind of turning the heat up as well, but the Flames don't have an answer for those three right now. And as long as Johnny Gaudreau doesn't show up for the Flames and doesn't play to his ability, it's going to be the McKinnon and the Landeskog and the Rantanen show. Third straight game, two late goals, and then the overtime winner, longest overtime game this season. And I don't know what else. What kind of superlatives are we missing here? They look fantastic.
Well, and Gaudreau, why have the Avalanche the last couple of games been able to neutralize him?
Because they're jumping on him in the neutral zone, and they're not allowing him to make time and space for himself. When he hits the blue line, quite often he'll try to pull up and get a little bit of a cushion between him and the nearest defender, where the Avs are trying to shut that down in the neutral zone, so that when he hits the blue line, he doesn't have that speed going, forcing the defender to back up, and then when he hits the brakes, he'll have a cushion. The Avs are cutting that option off.
And I think a guy like Ian Cole has played a role in that, has he not?
Well, you know, guys like Cole are important for a younger defense. I mean, you know, Eric Johnson obviously has been around a while, and Tyson Barrie is a seasoned veteran. But a lot of those guys need that presence that an Ian Cole brings, and he's been a steady influence. He hasn't been terribly impressive on the ice, but they haven't asked him to do anything terribly special. He's been steady in his own end. He's been very physical in front of the net. He's been a little chippy when he needs to be. So, yeah, he's getting the job done.
Yeah, but in terms of Gaudreau, though, of being able to Cole, most guys neutralizing him, Cole has played, you know, certainly a certain amount of a role in helping to slow Gaudreau down.
Yeah, and you know what? This is addressed directly by what I said about Cole being a little chippy. Gaudreau's getting a little gun-shy in front of the net as well, and he's trying to find space behind the net because he doesn't want to pay the price in front right now.
Buffalo Mark with us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Philip Grubauer, 35 saves. Boy, what a big save that he made, Mark, in overtime last night to allow the Avs to have that chance to get that Mikko Rantanen game winner.
You know, and it's just like we talked about in Game 3 when McKinnon got the winner. You see it all the time in overtime. A goaltender will make that big save, and then, you know, shortly thereafter, his team gets the winning goal. You know, let's give some credit to Mike Smith last night as well. He was stupefyingly good up until the final 2 minutes of regulation. But that save that Grubauer made in OT, that might well be the save that wins the series for the Avs.
And of course, in the first period, you had Smith who took a shot and certainly was reeling for a minute or two after that. But you're right, you know, up until overtime, he played sensational hockey for the Calgary Flames last night. So let's talk a little bit about tomorrow night. Avalanche have a chance to clinch this thing tomorrow night. 3-1 series lead, usually it's a commanding lead. Usually teams that go up 3-1 advance. You know, I don't know what the percentages are, but usually 75-80% of the time they advance. And tomorrow night, a chance to finish this thing off.
Yeah, and you know the Saddle Dome is a hostile environment, but the Avs have already shown that they can go in there and steal a win in the playoffs. I suspect that crowd tomorrow night is going to be raucous. But with the way the Avs are playing, look, the Avs are playing better than anybody in the NHL right now, except for maybe the Bruins. The Bruins and the Leafs are putting on an absolute war of a series. But you've got to love Colorado's chances because of the way they're playing. They're being aggressive. They're not sitting back on their heels. Even when they go two goals down, they've been hyper-aggressive, and they've been skating, and the Flames have been allowing them to skate through the neutral zone. And all of these things point to, well, a Colorado win tomorrow night.
Buffalo Mark with us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. So Avs win this series. It looks like it'll be the way things are right now. If this continues to form, that it'll be the Vegas Golden Knights that they face right now. The Vegas Golden Knights lead that series 3-1 over San Jose.
Yeah, Vegas has very quietly been excellent. I kind of liked San Jose in that series, but they struggled down the stretch. And just like last year, Gerard Gallant has got the Knights playing kind of hitting a crescendo as the season came to an end, and they started to hit their stride, and they started to play their best hockey in the second half of the season. That matchup, the Avs and the Golden Knights, should it occur, is going to be a joy to watch because both of those teams have no problem skating with each other.
And then you've had a pretty interesting series so far with Nashville and Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas really laid the lumber to the Preds last night. That series tied 2-2. I think a lot of people thought that the Preds, because of Pekka Rinne, were just going to skate over Dallas. But Ben Bishop, the Dallas goaltender, makes 34 saves last night, and they absolutely blow right by the Preds.
Well, and the Stars had 3 power play goals in the first period, so they definitely have a lot of momentum going into this next game.
And, you know, that kind of behavior from the Predators, that lack of discipline and then having to pay the price for it, as you noted, 3 power play goals, that's not indicative of who that team is. And they're not really built offensively to overcome that kind of deficit, albeit it was an early deficit. They had, you know, 2 more periods to make that up, and they were just unable to.
All right, Buffalo Mark with us. Of course, we'll have the Avalanche tomorrow night following Colorado Mesa Baseball when the Mavericks take on New Mexico Highlands. All right, since you're not going to be here tomorrow, we'll talk about it right now very quickly. The game for your Bills in division you're looking the most forward to, the one out-of-division game you're looking the most forward to.
Well, the New England games every year in division, although I hate the Dolphins more than any other team. And to be quite frank, that Broncos-Bills matchup is at November 24th.
I believe so.
I am looking forward to that one because 4 days later, the Bills play on Thanksgiving in Dallas. The schedule maker kind of gave us, you know, the bum's rush there, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Do you like the Buckeye boys' idea? Did you hear his idea earlier?
I did not, actually.
Playing division games to start the season, division games to end the season.
Was it NFL Network was kicking around this idea yesterday? I actually caught part of that. Open up with a division rival, and then the final three games, or not three games, the final 5 games of the year could be division games, sure.
I know. First 3 division games, last 3 division games.
You know what, that works as well, yeah. You know, I'm okay with that. Those games at the end of the schedule should mean something, and even if a team is out of it by then with 3 games left, playing a division rival kind of drives interest.
Well, look, the NFL Network, they stole your idea, Buckeye.
They did,
obviously
they
did.
They screwed it up.
Yeah. Yours is much better. It's more elegant.
I agree.
A much better solution. All right, Mark. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, take care. All right, Buffalo Mark, he'll be back with us on Monday. We will be off tomorrow for a good Friday. All right, 7:56. We'll take a break, and we'll come back hour 2. We'll have our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week coming up at 8:20 this morning. Also, 9 o'clock hour, Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, will join us on the program. As a Broncos fan, the in-division game, the one in-division game you're looking the most forward to, and the one out-of-division game you're looking the most forward to, send those to us today. Text us, Bob Scott, RV Team Text Line. That's 970-242-1340. We will take a break, and we'll come back with Hour 2 on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado's sports leader.
The Jim Davis Show. It is good on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
At Strive, we just recently moved into a new building. We had made plans to purchase all new equipment and upgrade our phone systems. ComWest decided that we could use the equipment that we already had and repurpose a lot of that and really save us a ton of money. Their service is impeccable. I mean, all we have to do is pick up the phone and they have somebody there to take care of what we need. You can't function without a good quality communication system, and ComWest makes sure that we have that. We are very pleased with ComWest.
At ComWest, your communications is our business. Call us at 242-8142.
Honey, have you seen the keys?
No. Nope. You drove the car last.
Didn't I give them to you to open the door?
Did you check your pockets?
Like 10 times.
Forgetting things is human nature. So we'd like to remind you to check with your healthcare provider and see if you need any vaccinations. Learn more at ColoradoImmunizations.com. Sponsored by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, the Colorado Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Team Weather.
Sunny today, Grand Junction and Delta, high around 68, 63 in Montrose. Tonight, clear and 44. Tomorrow, sunny and 75. Mostly sunny, 77 Saturday. Easter Sunday, partly sunny and 71.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is...
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrol.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Good morning, Uglyville!
Every ugly doll is unique.
I'm Moxie.
Bobo.
Wade.
Those close to me call me Slick Doll.
Which is not his name.
And every child is, too.
They can be pretty lovable.
That's why when you travel, you should make sure your child is in the right seat for their age and size.
That sounds pretty great to me.
Keep them safe by visiting nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Isn't that right, gibberish cat?
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Colorado Rockies baseball plays on the team.
102.1, 100.1, the team.
Spring is in the air, and Big O Tires is having their Spring Savings Spectacular. Don't miss these great deals on high-quality tires and guaranteed auto service. Right now, take $20 off each preventative maintenance service or one-year alignment. That's $20 off each service. And if you need new tires, Big O has their Buy 3 Tires, Get 1 Free sale going on now. Save on select sets of four. But don't delay. These deals end Saturday. Big O Tires is the team you trust. Visit BigOTires.com for more savings.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
I'm John Stashower. The two top seeds in the Stanley Cup playoffs are a combined 1-7. Tampa Bay's already out. They got swept. Calgary, best in the West, now down 3-1. The Flames led at Colorado 2-0 with 12.
Covering the Western Slope, KTMM Grand Junction, K266 CE Grand Junction, Rifle, K254CO Silt Rifle.
Team. Now brought up by Landeskog. In comes Landeskog for Soderberg. President Jr.
CSN, Mikko Rantanen, the tying and winning goal came at 10:23 of overtime. The Avs lead 3-1. Dallas, a 4-goal first period, beat Nashville 5-1. Roop Hintz, 2 goals to the Stars. Series is tied at 2. Boston won 6-4 at Toronto. David Pastrnak, 2 goals a minute 35 apart in the second period. So the Bruins have won games 2-4. The Leafs won 1-3. They're tied at 2. Celtics, the fourth quarter rally to beat the Pacers, 99-91. Milwaukee dominated the second half, beat the Pistons, 120-99. Houston, no problem with Utah, 118-98. James Harden, 32 points, a triple-double. So the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Rockets all with 2-0 series leads. Houston Astros had won 10 in a row. The streak is over. They lost at Oakland 2-1. Matt Chapman homered in the sixth inning. Make it 6 straight losses for the Mariners, who were 13-2. Indians won 1-0 on a Jake Bowers homer in the fifth inning. NBC Sports Radio brought to you by Wrangler Performance Series, collection of jeans and pants featuring a Comfort Flex waistband and denim. The Flex is for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series. Try on a pair today. This is NBC Sports Radio.
I'm Clint Hawkins, Grand Junction Affordable Auto Sales. One of the things that makes us unique is our small-town atmosphere. We strive to build lasting relationships. We have many customers that have bought multiple vehicles from us over the years. Many of them have referred their family and friends our way. We're grateful for that. We look forward to having a lasting relationship with you.
Grand Junction Affordable Auto Sales, one block west of Mesa Mall on Patterson.
Grand Junction Affordable Auto Sales, reliable vehicles, affordable prices.
Presents the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340 on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome into Hour 2. It's 8:03. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. NFL schedules came out last night. Broncos will open up the season at Oakland, and then they'll finish the season at home over at Mile High against the Raiders. The in-division game you're looking the most forward to, the out-of-division game that provides the most intrigue for you. I believe I mistakenly said September 17th. It's October 17th, the Broncos and the Chiefs, that Thursday night game. That's the in-division one that I have circled on my calendar. And then the out-of-division game is the game with the Browns. Because of all the hype about Cleveland, the fact the Broncos lost to the Browns last year after they had that stranglehold over Cleveland. But that's a game that has a lot of intrigue for me. But, boy, if you look at the schedule, we're going to break it down here in a moment. We'll have some comments from Vic Fangio as well coming up in a moment. That you have that streak of four road games in 5 weeks that starts week 11 at Minnesota. You've got early start times in those games with Minnesota and Buffalo. Those are early start times, week 11, week 12, home to the Chargers. And, you know, they're all, you know, the back east time zone, the early 11 o'clock window. Historically, the Broncos don't play well in that window. Because you got an early start with Houston, you got an early start with Kansas City.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough schedule.
So it's going to be difficult. Or I should say those are not 11, excuse me, but they have the four road games are on the east and in that early 11 o'clock window for the Broncos. Let's go through the schedule right now. We'll start out with September 9th. They'll play the late game, the 8:20 kickoff at Oakland. And, yes, they finally, if you have not heard, they got a deal done to play in Oakland for this year. They're going to play in San Antonio or San Diego or anyplace. So the Broncos at the Raiders, the second game of that Monday night doubleheader on September 9th. Then the Broncos are home. Vic Fangio takes on his former team, the Chicago Bears, at the 2:25 kick on September 19th. Then here's one of the 11 o'clock early games for the Broncos. They go to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Home on September 29th against Jacksonville and Nick Foles. Then the Broncos go to the Chargers on October 6th, home on the 13th to the Tennessee Titans, and then there's that home game, that Thursday game, when they take on Kansas City, which I have as the in-division game that I'm looking the most forward to. Thursday night game, Broncos-Chiefs, we've seen some interesting games when they have played in primetime, whether it's been Monday night or remember the Jamal Charles fumble.
Yeah.
And the Broncos scoop and score to beat the Chiefs in a Thursday night game. You had the Colts when Denver goes there October 27th. And then it's the Browns November 3rd over in Denver, the out-of-division game that I have is the one that I'm the most interested in. And then week 10 is your bye. And then Denver goes to Minnesota, one of those 11 o'clock start times that I referenced. Back-to-back weeks of 11 o'clock start times at Minnesota on the 17th of November, and then at Buffalo on the 24th, home to the Chargers on December 1st, 11 o'clock. That is an 11 o'clock start time with Houston, so another early start time on December 8th. And then you're at Kansas City. I'm sorry, those were both 11 o'clock start times, excuse me. So both more another 11 o'clock start time, back-to-back weeks for the Broncos, at Houston, at Kansas City. And then you're home to the Lions on December 22nd, game time has not been announced for that one yet, the flex situation, and then the Raiders, that'll be an afternoon game, 2:25 start on December 29th over in Denver to wrap up the regular season. Like I said, the number of 11 o'clock start times, not good. There's a lot of them on the schedule.
And yeah, Denver, five.
And Denver has historically not played well in that window. And you've got a pair of those, of the five, that are back-to-back 11 o'clock start times.
Yeah, you got the two in early November and then the two in mid-December. A couple back-to-backs on 11 o'clock start times. So, I mean, that's going to be a struggle for this team that, like you said, historically and consistently doesn't play well in that early window.
And so we'd like love your thoughts today about the Broncos and about the game in division you're looking the most forward to, the game out of division you're looking the most forward to. For me, it's the Chiefs, the Thursday night game, October 17th, mm-hmm. and then that game with the Browns. So some comments from Vic Fangio from the courtesy of the Broncos website.
Yeah, first one talking about how deep he looks into the schedule, which isn't all that deep.
All right.
Just the first couple games, and after that, it's too far away and too much to worry about. But we got Oakland the first game, which will be an important division game for us. They're playing, they've improved their team with their offseason moves up to this point, and they've got a bunch of draft picks here coming up, so they'll be much improved. That will be a big challenge going out there.
All right, so Vic Fangio on the schedule in total, and now Fangio on facing a division that he knows extremely well as the former defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears, and that's, of course, the NFC North. Here's Fangio on facing the North.
Well, not as much as you think. You know, the Green Bay is going to have a new offense this year, and they'll only be in their second year of their defense. Detroit, they're in their second year of their program there. And the only team that will stay relatively the same will be Minnesota from what we've seen. And then obviously now going against the Bears, you know, rather than being part of the Bears. So that will be a new experience for us also.
All right, Vic Fangio, his thoughts about the schedule release from last night. But once again, the Broncos will open up the schedule against the Raiders, finish off that schedule with the Raiders as well. September 9th, Denver plays at Oakland in the second game of the doubleheader. So get some rest in, because it's going to be a late night when the Broncos play the Raiders on September 9th. So I'd love to hear your thoughts today about the game in division for you, for the Broncos, that you're the most excited about, looking forward to, the one out of division you're the most excited about, or just in general, games this year in the NFL that you're looking forward to. I referenced Week 14, the Chiefs and the Patriots. Of course, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. Some other ones are on the schedule that I think have some interest, certainly. Chiefs at Chargers. That'll be the one at Azteca Stadium. They'll play in Mexico in that game.
Maybe.
Well, remember they were going to have a game there last time. It didn't work out. But we'll see. Hopefully this time they'll be able to square off there. But the Chiefs and Chargers, that's the November 18th game between those two. I think Kentucky Blue referenced the Steelers at Jets. Steelers are kind of his backup team. Of course, it'll be the Steelers matching up against the Jets now that Le'Veon Bell is playing for New York. Some other ones on here. See if they move the needle much for you, Buckeye. Giants at Cowboys, Week 9. Jason Witten is now back with the Cowboys.
No, that does nothing for me.
It doesn't really, it doesn't do a lot for me either.
The games you see twice a year don't really, there's not a whole lot of, oh, hey, cool, interesting matchup. I'll see it again later in the season, earlier in the season, next year, the last year I saw it. Those really don't do much for me, division game.
Does this move the needle for you? Redskins at Vikings, Kirk Cousins against his former team.
Kinda, a little.
Now Case Keenum there, obviously, in Washington.
Case Keenum, you don't know what Washington's going to be. Minnesota underachieved last year. I think both teams ended up missing the playoffs. So,
Yeah, both teams did. And to me, there's zero intrigue
not
there.
Last year, maybe.
Yeah.
A year removed for Kirk Cousins.
Nah, yeah, it doesn't really. Yeah, doesn't move the needle for me. Likewise with Giants and Cowboys. They have. This is USA Today. Ravens at Seahawks. Earl Thomas, of course, now with Baltimore, going against his former team. I guess so. I guess. Both were playoff teams last year.
If that defense was what it was 3 years ago in Seattle, that would be interesting because with Lamar Jackson. But, I mean, that defense, like you said, has kind of been stripped for parts now. Seattle is pretty much 3.5 quarters of run the ball down your throat, then save us, Russ. Maybe. A couple interesting running quarterbacks, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Not, doesn't really...
More
Give
so
me that
than
excited.
Giants, Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Way more than that game. Here's one that I know, obviously, you'll maybe have on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Browns-Patriots.
Yeah.
October 27th. Even as a non-Patriots-Browns fan,
mm-hmm.
that's a game I want to watch.
Yeah, that one for me is really intriguing. That's my non-division game for the Browns that I'm really looking forward to.
You have Chiefs-Bears on this list. They have it rated as the third best game of the season.
Really?
Best defense against highest scoring offense from last season.
Okay.
And then they have Chiefs at Patriots. That's one that I've said really is the top of my list as far as out of, not a non-Broncos game that I'm looking forward to watching. And that's week 14, December 8th. And they have the one that you brought up, Rams-Saints,
mm-hmm.
week two. Rematch of the NFC, the very controversial NFC championship game.
Yeah, that's the one for me. I kind of want to see how that one's going to go. I really do.
So as a Broncos fan, which in-division game are you the most excited about? Which out-of-division game are you the most excited about? Love to hear from you on that today. By the way, the Broncos opening up with the Raiders and Monday Night Football. Line's already been laid out on that one. Denver, a 2.5-point dog in week one to the Raiders already. We'll see how that line moves as we get closer to the start of the season.
What do they say? Being at home is worth 3 points?
Yeah.
So that's kind of a push?
So it's, yeah, pretty much. Kind of what you'd expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two teams that certainly did not play great football last year, underachieved. The Raiders are at home. Makes a lot of sense.
There's one game that we haven't touched on, but I haven't really dug deep into the Browns schedule, but I just kind of came across it. Sunday Night Football, Week 3, Rams in Cleveland.
Mm.
There could be a ton of points scored in that game.
Could very well be.
That'll be a test for the Browns defense, too.
Yeah, if Jared Goff is playing the way Jared Goff can potentially play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you constantly hear, though, particularly after the Super Bowl, and there was rumblings before that when they had that little stretch where he wasn't playing particularly well.
Yeah.
That there are people not sold on him as the Rams quarterback going forward.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do in the draft if they draft a quarterback in the later rounds.
Ooh, that would...
That'd send a message, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would for a guy that just took his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Say what you want about how that game... transpired,
but there was a lot of concern about him before that, though, when he hit that stretch midway point of the season where he just was not playing well.
It happens to a lot of quarterbacks, though.
I know.
Nobody's talking about replacing Carson Wentz.
Look,
they shipped off his backup, and he struggled.
I get it. I'm with you on that, but that's what I've read, what I've heard.
From
things I've been reading about the Rams situation and things that we heard during the season.
Yeah.
From people that were concerned about, according around the organization, concerned about Goff, of him, is he really their franchise quarterback? Is he really the answer going forward? And, about a guy that took them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Look, and it's not like he lost to a team and was smothered by a team that was 20th in defense.
Yeah.
Either,
played a defense that was playing really well, particularly at the end of the season in New England. All right, so text us. Bob Scott RV team text line 970-242-1340. Call us on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. That's 970-242-1340. Game in division. You're looking the most forward to if you're a Broncos fan out of division, or for your team if you're not a Broncos fan. For your team, in division, out of division, that you're looking the most forward to. Let's see. From Eric on the Bob Scott RV team text line, give me that fast-paced, heart-pounding, can't-take-your-eyes-off-the-rink-for-a-second lest you miss the lightning-quick, game-ending goal action of an overtime hockey goal. So that's our other question today, yeah. Walk-off homer or overtime game-winning goal. Plus the rapid-fire whiplash of emotion of seeing one ring, the pipe at one end, and the game winner seconds later at the other end of the rink. I can make a sandwich between pitches with baseball.
Right, but also if you're a defenseman and you pass the puck off the back of your goaltender, the game's over. It can end in just such a whimper. The pitcher can't turn around and throw the ball over the fence and have it end.
From Jeff this morning, good morning, fellas. Avalanche were amazing last night. Grubauer had a block with his leg in overtime that was just ridiculous. Rantanen's first goal on the redirect was simply amazing. For those of you that aren't watching or listening to the Avs right now, you need to tune in. They're playing inspired, fun to watch, and they'll have a chance to clinch tomorrow night in Calgary.
Yes, sir.
And you'll hear it right here on the team following Colorado Mesa baseball tonight. The Nuggets look to grab a 2-1 series lead in San Antonio, 6:35 pregame for that one tonight. All right, 8:18. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, we'll take a break, and our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week will join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
The Jim Davis Show.
I've practically been training my whole life to have people who are loud and wrong yell at me.
I've never been so upset in my life.
On in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1, the Team Sports Network. It's your next game up.
The Denver Nuggets
on the team.
The Nuggets playoff series heads to San Antonio tonight as they meet the Spurs. Jason Kosmiski with the call at 6:35 tonight. On Friday, it's a Colorado Mesa baseball doubleheader. It starts at 2:45 as the Mavericks host New Mexico Islands. That's followed by the Avalanche taking on Calgary in their playoff series with a chance to clinch. 8 o'clock Friday night on the Team Sports Network.
Colorado Sports Leader, 101 FM, 1340 AM. The Team.
I moved here from Southern California about 6 years ago. One of my biggest concerns moving here was, am I going to be able to find a nice, honest, good garage? And I found Simpson Brothers. Simpson Brothers has done several repairs, big and small. They're honest. They tell me up front what it's going to cost. They go above and beyond to make sure I'm taken care of, my car's taken care of, and that I'll be safe on the road. It's the only place I will take my vehicles.
Simpson Brothers Garage. Your car's never had it so good.
Team weather.
Sunny today, Grand Junction and Delta high around 68, 63 in Montrose. Tonight, clear and 44. Tomorrow, sunny and 75. Mostly sunny, 77 Saturday. Easter Sunday, partly sunny and 71.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'm a veteran. My victory was admitting I had PTSD and getting help.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I no longer see it as a weakness, but as a sign of strength. I call it post-traumatic growth.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran. I lost both legs in Vietnam.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was getting my benefits and a good education.
I'm a veteran. When I got out, I felt like nowhere was safe.
My victory was finding the help I needed.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
Thanks to DAV, now I feel like I'm human again.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Can I see you guys? Really? You're all insane.
The Jim Davis Show on in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1. The Team Sports Network. Only the best get to wear the crown. This is the Crown Supply Athlete of the Week.
Welcome back, 8:22. Crown Supply Athlete of the Week goes this week to sophomore Palisade baseball player Jack Moeller. Palisade coming off the Western Slope League doubleheader sweep. They had the sweep against Battle Mountain, and Jack in the game that the Bulldogs won 13-0. Boy, what a big game he had at the plate. Jack Moeller driving in four runs. He went 2-for-4 and scored a run as well. Jack Moeller, Palisade. You're on a 9-game winning streak. He joins us as our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week. Jack, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
9 in a row. You guys are on quite a roll right now, and you've been a big part of that.
Well, we started off the season rough, but we got some things figured out, and we just keep it going and carry us into the playoffs.
I know we had Coach Porter on recently, and he said that after that stretch where you kind of struggled to score some runs, didn't get off the kind of start that you guys wanted to, he went back to basics. And that seems like that's really been the thing that's helped you guys the most, is kind of getting back to the fundamentals.
That's correct. He has a philosophy, catch the ball, throw the ball. So right after those 7 games where we struggled, we went back to just staying focused on playing catch, and then that's obviously helped us transfer it into the game, where we have, I would think, about 4 errors in the past 9 games, and that was a big struggle at the beginning of the season, and we've got that cleaned up.
Crown Supply Athlete of the Week, Jack Moeller, joining us on the Jim Davis Show. When you have that rough start and then turn into a winning streak, is it kind of a quick turnaround, or does it slowly but surely start snowballing to where things just kind of start going your way, and then the good things start happening?
To get up to 9 games, it was a snowball effect, but getting that first win at the beginning of the 9 games was definitely a morale booster. It definitely helped our confidence, which has snowballed into this 9 games and has just kept us increasing our level of play, and we hope to keep continuing it.
Palisade Bulldogs sophomore baseball player Jack Moeller, our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team, hitting .471 on the season. You've already knocked in 25 runs. You lead the team in that category, 9 doubles so far in the season and a couple of home runs, Jack. And or some things that you did maybe during summer ball in the off season to improve yourself at the plate to have the kind of year that you're having?
I've definitely focused on my pitch discipline and focusing on getting good pitches that I can drive, and then just getting into the gym, working out, gaining a little bit of weight so I can put a little bit more behind these balls.
And Jack, not just the performance you've had at the plate this year, but you've also been one of the leaders from the pitching staff standpoint. Really good start to the year for you. You're tied to the team lead in wins with 3 so far, 3.32 ERA. And from that standpoint, what did you do to improve on the mound during the offseason?
Over the winter, my pitching coach, Yancey Birch, has just helped me get the right mindset that I can be a pitcher. And we worked on it almost every day this winter, whether fixing my mechanics or just helping me get right mentally into that pitching state of mind. And it's helped me transfer it into the regular season.
Our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week, Jack Moeller of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team, joining us on the Jim Davis Show. Hitting over .400 this year, ERA under .400. It's really easy on a 9-game winning streak to get into a mindset of, hey, we're pretty unbeatable. You personally, how do you kind of keep yourself in check from game to game and stay disciplined on those little things that Coach Porter keeps kind of hammering into you guys?
Our coach says play the ball, so that's what I'm doing. I don't worry about the opponent. Our hitting coach, Kyle Rowling, has told us don't waste at bats. This is my junior year. I only got this year and one more year, so I got to make sure every at bat counts. And even if we are on this 9-game winning streak, every at bat matters, and any team can beat us. But that's why we got to stick to our game and then keep the actions in our hands just play the ball and not let the other team get to us.
Well, certainly Coach Rowling knows what he's talking about. Had a great career at Central, played at Arizona State, was in the Rockies organization at the minor league level for a long time. What's been maybe the biggest, maybe either from a actual technique standpoint or just from a baseball philosophy standpoint, Jack, a couple of tips that maybe Coach Rowling has given you that you've really taken to heart?
On the fastballs, I'm lunging towards them, so he's taught me to just stay back, stay within myself. I'm not a very big guy myself, so I usually can't hit home runs, but when I don't try, that's when they come. And he's really hammered that into us where we've had all our home runs in the past six games, and that was when we're not trying to hit them, when we're trying to stay short, single approach up the middle, and then those home runs have come from when we have not been trying and getting big.
Jack Mull of the Palisade Bulldogs, our crown supply athlete of the week, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Right now as a team, you guys are hitting 390. I referenced the nine-game winning streak. And you look up and down the order. I mean, you're having a great season at 471. Sabu Campbell's had an outstanding season at 481. Stevenson Reynolds hitting 420. Kate Bickham's hitting 375. You really have a pretty darn dangerous lineup this year. There's really, if like you have a bad day, if Stevenson's not having one of his best days or Sabo, there's always somebody in this lineup that seems like they're ready to pick up the slack.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about our team. We have some depth, and like you said, if one of us is having a bad day, I'm always confident in my team that there's someone there to pick me up and have my back if, like you said, having a bad day or just can't focus.
Jack Mueller joining us on the Jim Davis Show, our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week. Now, as a guy that can hit over 400 and as a pitcher on the mound, kind of how much more relaxed are you? One, with that offense, you know that you guys are going to put up some runs, but two, knowing that if you're struggling on the mound or if you're struggling at the plate, every once in a while you have the ability to help yourself directly on the other phase of the game.
That's what I always tell myself. If I allow a run, I feel like I'm responsible to get that back. So I do everything I can at the plate to make sure I'm the one getting that one back, or I know my team will get that run back. We're an explosive offense, and it's very hard to keep us contained, I would say.
Palisade baseball player Jack Mueller with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the team. Who's maybe the upperclassman, either last year or this year, that maybe was kind of a mentor to you, somebody kind of took you under his wing, a guy that's been kind of a leader for you, a guy that has been kind of maybe even a sounding board for you?
So I have two. It was Austin Bernal last year, and now it's Sabo Campbell. I've played with Sabo and Austin since my freshman year, and they were both outfielders, and so they mostly got me into the right mindset of playing varsity baseball. And you have to have that passion to play to be at the next level. And so I think both of them gave me that passion and competitiveness to play at this level and, I guess, play well.
Who's the guy or guys on the team that keep stuff loose, keep things loose? They kind of, you know, joke around a little bit, things, you know, just to keep things kind of loose in the dugout or at practice?
Definitely Sabo Campbell again and Cody Baumeier. They try to keep the mood light. Even if it's a tough game, they're still up in the dugout, getting us fired up, keeping it loose, though, not getting us too tense, which then that causes us to make these errors. So if we play loose, we play our game, we play at a high level.
Jack Mueller, Palisade Bulldogs baseball team with us today. He's our Crown Supply Athlete of the Week. All right, we'll step away from the field, Jack. What does Jack Mueller do away from the field to kind of decompress? Video games, fishing? What do you do when you're not playing baseball, when you get that chance? I know this time of the year, it's pretty much it's schoolwork and baseball games and baseball practice, but what do you do to kind of unwind that that maybe isn't related to playing a sport?
I like to watch The Office. That definitely helps. And then just take a nap. That helps me rewind. And then just helps me take my mind off the game, whether if I had a bad game or not, or even a good game. I just got to focus on the next game and playing well then.
Okay, The Office. If Jack Mueller was a character on The Office, who would you be?
Oh, hopefully Jim, but maybe Michael.
Yeah, I find, you know, Jack, I find myself when I've watched The Office in the past trying to decide which one I probably am more like.
Yeah.
I'm sure Buckeye, you probably think I'm more like Michael Scott sometimes.
You know, not having watched the show a whole lot, I can't really speak to that. I'm more of the nap game. I'm a good napper, so I can bond on that side of it. But, Jack, when you get a chance to get away from baseball, when you get a chance to kind of nerd out, geek out about something that you really like, what is that? Is that comic books? Is it movies? Video? What does Jack Moeller nerd out about?
Probably my business class. I really like diving deeper into stock market and seeing what's going on in the world, and that's what I wanted to do when I grew up. So, yeah, that's what I nerd out about, read a bunch of articles about that, but I guess it's not really like the classic nerd, but I guess.
Well, hey, you're going to be popular in a few years, for sure.
Yeah, hey, Jack, if you're already thinking about this stuff and you're a sophomore, I think I need to talk to you in a few years.
Yeah,
you know,
no
about
kidding.
What to do with,
weeks,
you know,
maybe.
Move over my 401k or something like that if I need to, you know, down the road, man, down the road at some point. We need to talk if that's the path you go down. All right, the teacher, you mentioned your business class, but maybe the teacher right now that you really enjoy them, you enjoy their class. Would that be obviously your business class and the teacher of that class?
Yes, that's Kelly Lynn. She's my business teacher. She makes that class enjoyable. I look forward to going to that class every day, and the way she teaches, I'm able to retain all that information, and makes me want to go do my own research outside of school, so yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, one final question for you. The baseball player you try to emulate the most, maybe your favorite player, who would that be for you?
Mike Trout.
Not a bad guy
choice,
to try to be
yeah.
like, yeah, not too shabby. Hey, Jack, we appreciate the time. Our next broadcast of Palisade Baseball will be this Wednesday night when the Bulldogs play at Rifle. So we appreciate the time. And, of course, on Thursday we'll have Palisade and Delta as well as one of our regional games coming up on Thursday. So a couple of Bulldogs games coming up next week. Jack, we appreciate the time. And best of luck, of course, in your games coming up. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Jack Moeller of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team joining us today on the Jim Davis Show. On the team. All right, 8:34. Jim, along with the Buckeye boy. No, I can't right now.
Okay.
Actually, it's somebody actually calling me about an appointment for something.
Oh, well, you're kind of
got to get the cooler checked. So
you got an appointment going on right now.
So. I know this is this is the bigger appointment right at the moment.
This is what you know. Pay the tab on the cooler.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. Why am I apologizing to you?
I don't know.
The listener, yes, but not you.
I don't
you.
Know why you apologize to me.
I don't know why I'm apologizing to you.
It's surprising my phone doesn't go off this more often than
I'm
stuff.
I'm really shocked. I totally am. I'm surprised it's not you more than me. All right, 8:34. Appreciate the time Jack Moeller spent with us today.
Fun chat.
Yeah, good guy. Good kid. Sophomore. Obviously, that's a team that's playing some great baseball right now. They've won 9 straight, and they're undefeated and Western Slope League play. All right, 8:35, Jim along with the Buckeye boy. And let's go ahead and get into...
We're into 4 down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Okay, I think we touched on this before, but we'll go back to it again. First down, the 2 games you're looking the most forward to in the NFL season. We'll just go with the Browns. The 2 Browns games, in division, out of division.
In division, I'll go ahead and throw a Thursday night game at you there. Steelers at Browns, week 11 on the 14th. That's the one I can really get into right now. Out of division games, I'm tied, I guess. Rams at Browns, week 3. Browns at Patriots, week 8. You know, that 7 games last year, a lot of hope coming into this year. Those are kind of, you know, milepost games. Those are measuring stick games, just kind of see exactly where the Browns are. And it's nice to have that one in week 3, you know, because you don't want to get there, maybe have some weak wins, W-E-A-K wins,
right,
early on in the season, and then just get smacked around by a couple good teams. It's nice to have that one measuring stick early in the season, at least for the Browns.
And as I referenced before, the October 17th game, the Thursday night game against Kansas City, and for the Broncos, that's going to be a quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Play the Titans on Sunday, and then the Chiefs on that Thursday night game. And then the Browns on November 3rd of the two games that in division, out of division, that I'm looking most forward to. As far as NFL schedule in total, that Week 14 game, Patriots and Chiefs.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that one a lot. Also, the other one, the Browns and Patriots. Not that I'm a Patriots fan, but they're defending Super Bowl champions. A couple of games that are just ones that I would look forward to watching going forward.
Rams-Saints is something that I'm really looking forward to as well. In the, I think it's Week 2 is what we were talking about. Also kind of a sneaky out-of-division game for the Browns. Browns-Seahawks. That may be an interesting game coming up this season.
All right, second down.
Do the Avs finish off the Flames tomorrow night?
I feel like there's still some fight in the Flames, maybe, but I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say the Avalanche get it done tomorrow night in Calgary. Got the momentum on their side. They're up 3-1. Yeah, I think they get it done.
I think they do. It'd be nice to, you know, clinch it at home, but I think they don't screw around. Just go ahead, foot on the throat, finish them off tomorrow night in the Saddle Dome, Scotiabank Saddle Dome.
And we will have that game following Colorado Mesa Baseball tomorrow night. All right. If the Avalanche get it done tomorrow night, do the Nuggets grab a 2-1 series lead tonight? Can they win at San Antonio, where they have that 32-9 home record, and they're very much better defensive team at home? I want to say yes, but I feel like, I don't have a good feeling about this.
I don't have a good feeling about it either. The one thing that holds positive in my heart, though, if the way the first two games were flip-flopped, the Nuggets win game one and then were just awful in game two, I don't think there's any way they win tonight. But I think that the way they ended game two gives them a little bit of momentum. I'm gonna go ahead and say yeah. I think they get it done.
Yeah, I got a bad feeling, but you know, I'm going to go against that bad feeling and say yeah, they get the win tonight.
Go with your heart, not with your head.
Exactly. 6:35 for that one tonight. Jason Kosmiski on the Team Sports Network. All right, fourth down.
Speaking of NBA playoffs, Pistons, Pacers, Thunder, Jazz, all down 0-2. Any of them make it a series? I'm going to say Pistons and Pacers, no. I think they're toast.
I agree with you on the Jazz, though. Yeah, I think the Jazz can still make it a series.
I think the Jazz can make it a series. Portland is just, they are just clubbing the you-know-what out of the Thunder right now. Damian Lillard is not letting the Thunder have any fun at all, at least in the first few games of this series. I think the Jazz are still the ones that can make it interesting against the Rockets.
Yeah, I do too. Don't think they come back and win it.
I don't think they win it.
But they extend it. They at least
tucker them out a little bit.
Yeah, make it at least. They at least have they go down swinging in this at least a little bit, more than the other two. I agree. All right, 8:39, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We will take a break and we'll come back. Get some of your texts this morning on the Bob Scott RV Team text line. You can also call us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. The number for both is 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and return with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Good morning.
The Jim Davis Show is worldwide at theteam1340.com and on iTunes, The Team. Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning, I'm Jim Davis. Miko Rantanen scored the game winner in overtime as the Avalanche beat Calgary 3-2 last night in Denver. Rantanen scored about 10 minutes into overtime to help Colorado grab a 3-1 series lead.
Yeah, obviously, tonight, take great team effort again. You know, we go down in the third, but there's a lot to believe in that this team, and we believe we can do it every night. Obviously, in an OT, Carl made an unreal pass, so I was just trying to get it to the net, and this time went in, it was big.
Avs goalie Philip Grubauer made 35 saves. The Avalanche head to Calgary tomorrow night with a chance to clinch the series. The Team Sports Network will join the game in progress Friday night around 8 o'clock after Colorado Mesa Baseball. Speaking of the Mavericks, they open up their series with New Mexico Highlands at 6:05 tonight at Sam Saplesio Field. Also tonight, the Denver Nuggets look to grab a 2-1 series lead as they head to San Antonio to meet the Spurs pregame at 6:35 tonight on the Team. The Denver Broncos will open and close the season with longtime rival Oakland after the NFL announced its schedule last night. New coach Vic Fangio and the Broncos play at the Raiders Monday night on September 9th. Kickoff set for 8:20. Fangio faces his former team when Denver hosts Chicago at 2:25 on September 15th. Broncos have road games at Indianapolis, Minnesota, Buffalo, and Houston. Catch the Broncos this season at 96.1 K-Star and 98.7 1490 of the Team in Rifle.
Grand Junction High School sending four athletes to play college sports. Jacob Melcher signed to play baseball at Concordia in Seward, Nebraska. Donovan Andrews signed to play football at Colorado Mesa. The wrestling teammates Hunter Tobiasen and JT Skalecki signing with the Queens Wrestling Program in South Carolina.
Spring is in the air, and Big O Tires is having their Spring Savings Spectacular. Don't miss these great deals on high-quality tires and guaranteed auto service. Right now, take $20 off each preventative maintenance service or one-year alignment. That's $20 off each service. And if you need new tires, Big O has their Buy 3 Tires, Get 1 Free sale going on now. Save on select sets of four. But don't delay. These deals end Saturday. Big O Tires is the team you trust. Visit BigOTires.com for more savings.
This is Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Wrangler Performance Series, denim that's made to move with you. Try out a pair today. Today's birthday shout-out goes to Miguel Cabrera. The Tiger slugger is a lock for first ballot entry into the Hall of Fame. After all, the Venezuelan native who won a World Series ring as a Marlins rookie back in 2003 is an 11-time All-Star, a two-time American League MVP, and in 2012 he became the first Triple Crown winner since Carl Yastrzemski back in 1967. So the four-time batting champion knows a thing or two about hitting. Launch angles have become all the rage in today's game. However, Cabrera is not a big proponent of that. His batting philosophy is simple. Hit the ball hard, look for line drives, and use the whole field. There's plenty of wisdom in that approach for sure, and it's hard to argue with Cabrera's results over the years. So happy 36th birthday, Miggy. Have a great day. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Winter's over, and lucky lawns everywhere are getting Scotts Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer from the Home Depot. Right now, buy a bag and you'll save up to $25 on a bag of Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Prevent crabgrass, weed and feed your grass, and save up to $25. Guess your lawn not the only lucky one. Today is the day for doing, with savings on Weed and Feed when you buy a bag of Turf Builder with Halts. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $25 savings on a 43-pound bag. Selection varies by store.
Every morning, the McDonald's kitchen is a symphony. A sizzling, toasty McMuffin symphony. To the eggs! While other grab-and-go breakfast sandwiches are kind of one note. It's time to wake up breakfast. Wake up your breakfast with a fresh cracked egg on every McMuffin sandwich every day at McDonald's.
Lizzie Phillips here in the KMVZ News Center. State and federal law enforcement are trying to put together what led a Florida high school student to get on a plane to Denver, buy a shotgun, and make threats against schools in the Denver area. 18-year-old Sol Pais was found dead yesterday morning. CBS reporting a website belonging to Pais is filled with references to depression, isolation, suicide, and guns. The Mesa County Coroner's Office has released the identity of a man killed in a crash on Patterson Road Sunday night. 55-year-old Justin Welsh was not wearing a seatbelt when his car left the road and crashed. The report says Welsh had been drinking and tested positive for THC, although it's not clear how long the THC had been in his system. Grand Junction has a new homeless camping policy for public areas. An ordinance passed last night allows camping when there is no space in local shelters. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMZZ News Center.
Western Slope FM Sports, 101 Grand Junction, 98.7 Rifle, 100.1 Montrose. The Jim Davis Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
On in Grand Junction, 101.1 and 1340, the Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. NFL schedule came out last night for the Broncos. For those of us here in Broncos country, the in-division game you're looking the most forward to, for me, it would be the game October 17th with the Broncos and the Chiefs, that Thursday night game on Fox. The out-of-division game, it's the November 3rd game with the Cleveland Browns, with all the expectations swirling around the Browns these days. Baker Mayfield, the Broncos, Denver losing to Cleveland last season. Into that long winning domination the Broncos have had over the Browns. That's one I'm looking forward to. So the games that you're looking the most forward to, if you're a Broncos fan or for your team, text us, Bob Scott RV team text line, 970-242-1340, or give us a call on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, serving breakfast right now over at Chick-fil-A at Rimrock. Give us a call or a text, 970-242-1340. From Tyler, good morning. Good morning, fellas, actually, being the huge Seahawks fan that I am. I'm not expecting a big season, but I am very excited for Week 3, the Saints, and Week 6 at Cleveland. For the Broncos, Week 1 will be a must-watch. Go Hawks. Well, I respond to the Go Broncos. But, I of course, I'm going to watch the Monday night game, but the Chiefs are the reigning AFC West champion with most likely, and I think most people's observations and thoughts, that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback, maybe the best player in the league, and that the Broncos and Chiefs have played some pretty darn memorable primetime games. And so that's the one that I kind of go, okay, that game will definitely be, it's a measuring stick game for the Broncos against one of the best teams, not just in their division, the best team in their division, but also one of the best teams in all of football when they take on Kansas City.
Yeah,
And I don't feel that way about the Raiders. I think the Raiders are still, it's the Raiders, looking forward to the Broncos playing the Raiders. Of course, Denver had the embarrassing loss at the end of the regular season against Oakland. Look, I'm always looking forward to the first game of the season, a Monday night game, Broncos-Raiders, but I don't view that game as the game that's going to give us the kind of measuring stick that the Chiefs are going to provide.
No, and I'm with you there. The Raiders are—they're not really projected as a playoff team. So I mean, they're not going to be—they're not really a measuring stick. I mean, they are if you lose to them. That's not going to be a very good measurement. But if you beat them, then you know it doesn't really do much for you as the how good is our team this year.
I have a couple from Frodger on the Bob Scott RV team text line. He's looking forward to the Cowboys stuffing the Bills on Thanksgiving Day. Okay. Also from Roger, he sent us the Joe Walsh top five, his top five Joe Walsh songs.
Uh-huh.
Now he has Chick-fil-A here locally. That Joe Walsh, our friend Joe Walsh, his top five. Okay.
Okay.
Number five, Dixie Chicken from Little Feet. Thick 'em on a Chicken from Zach Brown. How Funky Is Your Chicken from the Jackson 5. Chicken Fry from Zach Brown. And from the immortal George Jones, Have You Seen My Chicken? Or Joe over at Chick-fil-A.
So no Chicken Foot.
No, Chicken Foot didn't make his list.
No Rooster from Alice in Chains.
No.
This list is, I mean, it's incomplete. Or just unfathomable without one of those two things on it.
It's got two Zach Brown songs in there.
I know, that's worse.
Can't you work in something from Chickenfoot, from Sammy and the guys?
Anything?
Apparently
Rooster,
not.
Mr. Allison Chain? No, nothing?
Nothing. But I think it's still a clever list that he put together, though. Still, come on. Still pretty good. Don't be so grumpy. Don't. Okay.
He took a shot at my brown this morning. I don't have to be nice to him today.
He took the time to figure out all those songs. And I applaud him for that. I think that's cool.
Well, he's got nothing to do this morning.
he's not a guy that has nothing to do.
Did you see this list?
He's a busy guy. But he managed to wedge this into his busy schedule.
This list means that there's not much going on in the world of Frodger on a Thursday morning right now. Just saying.
Text in this morning, like Frodger did, to the Bob Scott RV team text line, 970-242-1340.
No camping songs for the text line for Frodger?
He's focused on Joe over Chick-fil-A today. All right.
Camptown Races as his number two?
It's pretty good. King of the Road?
Yeah.
From Roger Miller.
I've Been Everywhere, Man.
That would work as well.
But we
absolutely
do this for a living, so that's a little different on our end.
All right.
We probably should be able to put together a top five list fairly quickly those things.
You would think that we could probably assemble something, but I give Roger credit for that. Okay. Did you see the Kisla piece that he wrote about LaMarcus Aldridge?
No, I didn't.
Mark Kisla on the Denver Post website, of course. The printed physical paper as well has written a column about LaMarcus low blow Aldridge.
Okay.
That LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, the other night, you know, had the little dust up with Nikola Jokic. That Aldridge claimed that Jokic grabbed his arm, forced him to throw an errant pass, that he turned it over the other night. They had their little dust up, and then, of course, Greg Popovich, who went crazy at the end of the game the other night and nearly got ejected in this whole thing. But LaMarcus Aldridge, according to Mark Kisla, has now become public enemy number one because Aldridge fought through a screen by smacking Gary Harris. Remember that the other night when Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Gary took the.
Yeah.
Took me a second to remember that.
Uh-huh.
Remember he set the screen?
Yeah.
And Aldridge fought through it.
And took the charge, if you know what I mean.
And Gary Harris took one in the twig and berries.
Yeah.
And look, it's not funny, but why do we still laugh at sometimes when
we're juvenile?
Because we're just stupid that way. Even
we're
if it's
children.
A guy, even if it's a guy that we like and love, like Gary Harris, it's like, oh, he got popped in the pills.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts. But Aldridge, because of the stuff with Jokic, with Nikola Jokic, with the Joker, and then of course the fighting through the screen.
I
and
didn't really think
using,
it was on purpose, though.
Using the tactic that he did to pop Gary Harris. Yeah, I didn't take it as being intentional.
No, I didn't think he was like, you know, appearing on the Gong Show or anything. His hand hit him there. I don't, you know what I mean? But then again, unless it's absolutely just a complete and obvious shot, I don't believe any guy would do that on purpose. You know what I mean? I give everyone the benefit of the doubt until I see it happen. Like Draymond Green, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. But the weird-looking bald guy that played for the Clippers years ago that went on, I think it was Nene or Linus Clay or somebody. Yeah, no, I don't give him the benefit of the doubt. But everybody else, until they have been proven to do it, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Mike Malone said, you know, I don't think he's a dirty player. I don't see that in his game. I think it was an accident. I think it was unfortunate. I don't think there was any malicious intent there. He doesn't think that that represents who LaMarcus Aldridge is.
I don't think so either.
So is this a case where Kisla is trying to hype something into, make something out of nothing here?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's trying. Like you said, he said the Marcus Aldridge gives Nuggets fans a villain. Do we need a villain?
And was he, when in popping Gary Harris in the pills?
Yeah.
Did he intentionally, like Steven Adams, right? Steven Adams is known for OKC.
Yeah.
A guy that's known for going up with his knee.
Right.
And drilling guys.
Yeah.
At least he has in the past anyway.
Draymond Green will kick you.
Draymond Green is a great example. Those are guys that have developed a reputation of doing some stuff that's pretty dirty.
Right.
And giving a shot south of the border. I don't think Aldridge is that guy. I really don't. I didn't take it as that. I took it as he was trying to fight through the screen, and he unintentionally popped Gary Harris in the soft spot.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to ring the bell on purpose. I don't think so.
Yeah, I just don't. And even the thing with Jokic, I don't think that's. Look, if he's a villain, fine to somebody, but I think this is so manufactured,
right,
by Mark Kisla that Aldridge is this villain guy, that dirty player, is a dirty play on Gary Harris.
I think
it's ridiculous.
And if these are on purpose, then he's worked at it, because they don't look like it at all.
When I saw that the other night, I didn't even think that was intentional.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, Gary Harris got hurt. Then I saw the replay, and I'm like, oh, Gary Harris really got hurt.
Gary got,
oh,
he
man.
He took,
like,
a shot.
I was like, oh, did he hit a knee? Did he turn an ankle or whatever? Then they showed the replay, and I'm like, oh, brother.
I just kind of thought the moment when he was standing there, I'm like, he took one. He took one in the boys.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, dead center, right on target.
Ouch.
Oof.
But that doesn't make LaMarcus Aldridge. And I'm not a fan of LaMarcus Aldridge. I want the Nuggets to win this series. I love Gary Harris.
Right.
But I don't think that makes Aldridge the supervillain.
No.
Not Dr. Evil.
And outside of this series, I like LaMarcus Aldridge. I really do.
Surprised he's not a better player than what he is.
And I'm surprised his peak has been lower than what it is.
Yeah.
But I've always enjoyed his game, and I don't think hitting people in the Houston Rockets is part of the game.
All right. Hour three coming up.
In 2002, Ron Wilson had a vision of creating a company that would provide quality local jobs and help the local community. Today, Crown Supply Company is the premier provider for specialized service crews for the oil and gas industry throughout the United States. Ron Wilson's legacy lives on through his vision of keeping the money local and supporting the community. Crown Supply is committed to putting money back into the community through quality jobs and supporting area nonprofits. Crown Supply Company, the force that gets work done.
One night only, 3 hours only. Sundance Marine is having a huge blowout sale April 25th. Everything in the pro shop will be marked down 20 to 80% for Sundance Marine's beach party. Save on over 500 life jackets, 200 boards, wake, surf, paddle, ski and skate, tubes, tow ropes, wake helmets, water toys, everything you need on your boat, in the pool, or at the lake. One night only. 3 hours only. Thursday, April 25th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Sundance Marine. Just west of 23 Road at 2291 Tall Grass Drive.
Sundance Marine. Come on. Get a boat.
Team Weather.
Sunny today, Grand Junction and Delta, high around 68, 63 in Montrose. Tonight, clear and 44. Tomorrow, sunny and 75. Mostly sunny, 77 Saturday. Easter Sunday, partly sunny and 71.
I'm Amanda with Communities and Schools. I'm in school to connect at-risk students with community resources like food, shelter, and healthcare. I'm in school to support kids coping with losing a loved one, divorce, or bullying. I'm in school to partner with teachers, so what happens outside the classroom doesn't impact students' learning inside the classroom. Above all, I'm in school to help kids stay in school. See how we help all students succeed at communitiesandschools.org.
I'm Staff Sergeant Mark Anthony Madrid.
Staff Sergeant Samantha Cowell.
Staff Sergeant Alex.
I'm Staff Sergeant William Lewis, and I am proud to defend my family and our nation.
The Air Force Reserve is part of the story of this great nation.
I'm grateful that I have a chance to wear the uniform of the heroes that went before me.
I am proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference in the world.
Every day, men and women from communities across this nation serve as Reserve Citizen Airmen. Even as technology evolves and changes, our commitment to defend this nation remains steadfast. We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving. We celebrate our proud history and look towards an exciting and uniting future. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member.
And I'm proud to serve in the United
States. And I am proud to protect our country.
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
AFReserve.com.
Covering the Western Slope, KTMM Grand Junction, K266 CE Grand Junction, KNAM Silt Rifle, K254CO Silt Rifle, the team. Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
Three-game freeze on the NBA docket tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time in Brooklyn. It is the Nets hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. That series is tied at a game apiece. Brooklyn took game one, Philly game two. Sixers four, Tobias Harris says the team knows what they have to do to win in game three.
We know defensively how locked in we need to be. I think we saw that in game two, just the intensity of pushing them off the three-point line and making them make tough contested too. So for us, it's just the energy and the spirit and the flow of how we're going to play offensively and defensively. Those are things that are going to be there.
9 p.m. Eastern time, it is Denver at San Antonio. Series tied at a game apiece. 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, Clippers coming off that miracle winning game two, coming back from a 31-point deficit. They are hosting the Golden State Warriors. That series also is tied at a game apiece. St. John's is now 0-4 when it comes to trying to find a head coach to replace Chris Mullin. The latest, Ionis Tim Clues has taken himself out of the running for the job. Other names, Bobby Hurley has said no. Loyola Chicago's Porter Mosier has said no as well. Lots of people saying no to St. John's as of now. NHL postseason action, 3-4. Washington Capitals at the Carolina Hurricanes. Washington with the 2-1 advantage. Winnipeg and St. Louis. North of the border tonight, it is a game 5. That series tied at 2 games apiece. Vegas is at San Jose. Las Vegas could wrap it up. They're up 3-1. Afternoon Major League Baseball action. Arizona is at Atlanta. Washington hosting San Francisco. White Sox on the road at Detroit. Toronto is at Minnesota. Dustin Pedroia, he left yesterday's game with more knee woes. He's going to be set for some tests to see what's up with his surgically repaired knee. I'm Dan Schwartzman. This is NBC Sports Radio and the NBC Sports Scores app.
Colorado Rockies baseball plays on the team. 101-1340, the team.
Bunch of jokers and tokers who spend their lunch hacky-sacking the sound garden.
Ooh! The team presents the Jim Davis Show. Call or text the team line at 970-242-1340. Colorado sports leader, the team.
Welcome back. It's 9:03. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. The NFL released the schedules last night. Broncos will bookend it with the Raiders this year. Open with the Raiders. The second game of Monday Night Football. Then the final game of the season in Denver against the Raiders. The game in division that you're looking the most forward to. The game out of division. Just one. You can only pick one game. Of each, the in-division game, out-of-division that you're looking the most forward to. I have the October 17th Thursday night game, Broncos and Chiefs. First time they will meet in the upcoming season. And then the November 3rd game. And this is not, it's nothing to do with you, Buckeye.
Well,
it is about your, it is about your Browns, though, and the expectations of the Browns this year. Beating my Broncos last year, that's the one I'm looking forward to out-of-division. Though Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay gets Packers, it's enticing. Colts with a playoff team last year, a team that's definitely getting better under Frank Reich. Another one that I think is interesting as well, but I'm going to go with the Broncos and the Browns as my out-of-division game. Also, what's better, walk-off homer or game-winning goal in overtime? We're both, I guess because we're baseball guys that we love hockey and enjoy it. We're both baseball guys, and the walk-off homer's great, but boy, what a big moment last night. Mikko Rantanen, 10 minutes into overtime. The Avs beat Calgary 3-2 and a chance to wrap up the series tomorrow night in Calgary. We'll have that following Colorado Mesa Baseball tomorrow night right here on the team. Speaking of baseball, we bring in our good friend, the chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, Jamie Hamilton, joins us. Jamie, how are you doing today?
Always good. Nice to see you. And it's getting close.
It's getting closer, closer and closer. Once again, I want to thank you for the Rockies-Phillies tickets. We gave those away on Monday.
Great.
And so we enjoyed being able to give those away to one of our listeners. But you have a banquet speaker. You can't tell us who the banquet speaker is. You haven't even told me yet. So I don't even know.
Yeah.
But hey, congratulations to Darren on getting that done.
Oh, yeah,
right?
He came through. He actually, you know, he's so analytical. We talked about this before. Just a bright young leader and the future of not only our organization downtown, but also JUCO. But he did a few analytics and found that the number of denied requests we had something to do with the trend of who our MC is for the banquet. So I don't know. I don't know exactly what that means, but
Wait a minute.
How many years have you been?
Oh, it's been, gosh, I don't know. Apparently not much longer.
That's right.
Because apparently I'm the problem then.
No. It's just, we talked about before, it's just a process, but we'll be able to release it here in the next couple of days. Yeah. And it's, again, we're having a banquet, and it's just kicked off, and we'll be doing quite well with it. So, how's that?
I think it's a good way to respond. You know, I'm not going to press you on it.
Thank
I'm going to say,
thank
so,
yeah, no.
So is this somebody that people know that from the world of baseball or what? Yeah, I think it's been 13 years since I've been doing it.
Well,
so
thank you very much. Like you're very good at what you do.
Well, thank
even
you.
Even though Colt Nery says no.
Yeah, well, apparently, well, I guess Colt will be looking for a replacement for me at some point in time because I'm keeping people from coming here for whatever reason. Maybe I need to use more antiperspirant or something. The word's getting out. So Wabash Valley, we had their coach Fournier on Monday talking about the team, and Boy, they are just tearing it up right now.
Yeah, I thought they might hit a lull, but it's not happening. And like you said and pointed out, and the numbers are just all of a sudden I'm thinking it's real because of the amount of weeks that we've got into the season right now. They must have a really special team.
And Rob Fournier, once again, another great offensive team. They have an ERA of around 2.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yes, especially in junior college baseball. Exactly right. In any baseball,
it's pretty darn impressive, but in particular in junior college baseball. We also had Ken Shelley on. Of course, our good friend Ken Shelley said to tell you hi, by the way.
Good.
Hi to you and Darren and Bruce and Steve Buller and everybody. But we had him on. Of course, to win the Jayhawk is always tough, but it looks like, once again, Dave Burrows in Cali County, though, it could come down to Kent and Johnson County and Cali County coming out of the Jayhawk.
Yeah, well, and your point's well taken. It's a really good league. It's almost like Florida in that you've got some really quality teams, top 10 teams, but only one gets to come out of that state. And but good guys, and Kent's been a great ambassador for us, and now he's working his way up at the ABCA and done a lot of leadership positions in that thing and promotes us all the time.
We talked last week about the approved seating going forward, not for this year, but for next year. Any feedback on that from anybody since we spoke?
Well, if you're talking at the stadium or
the seating, the seating process for next
seating.
Year.
No,
I'm sorry, seating. Not.
Now I know what the problem with the MC is.
He's not very clear. No, the seating process for the bracket going forward.
No, it will be approved in 2020. And some fine-tuned logistics that we talked about last week. They are open to that and are talking about how to get that done. And even to the point, I think Patty and you talked about it, even instead of getting to that flip aspect, if it's based on a seed, and then maybe even help us out of having flips after every game to see who's a home team. Let's just automatically have the highest seed as the home team. Again, give them some incentive to try to make the season work for them. So, and that would be easier than poor Walt having every night trying to get a coach someplace, even though he's not at the stadium, to meet us after a game, to flip, to see who's home and who's visitors. So I think some things that maybe they didn't think about at 30,000 feet is we're getting into the weeds and try to make it smooth. So, but for the most part, the coaches that I've spoke to really do like it. And again, other than making sure we can have it for print and have it
early
as we can get it, I think it's going to work well.
And once again, for the seeding the bracket, that will not take place until next year. So
that is correct.
Has no impact on this year's tournament. We've talked a lot about some of the changes going forward, like the potential seeding the bracket and things like that. In regard to, let's talk more about the experience this year at the tournament. It's always a lot of fun. You always have a lot of great things that are going on. Anything special this year, Jamie? This may be a little bit different than normal, or something that you really want to highlight to people in regard to coming out that's away from what's going on in the baseball field.
Yeah, no, obviously the kicked off on Thursday when we have the Great Challenger program with four schools that participate with the Great Challenger division of young people. The clinic, we've got really good feedback with not only the Coaches Association, but now that MLB has come in there and gives away a lot of good free swag. I mean, we had over 300 young people out there last year at the stadium, so it's a good way for them to get out. And
number keeps growing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Kenny Johnson's done a great job with
Kenny's
the,
remarkable.
With that.
Really, really organized, and it's fun. Everybody gets to participate. And those are just fun things for whether it's your grandkids or your kids themselves. The thing, I guess, this year is going to be a little bit different because school's still in session. We haven't had that for a while. And if you remember historically back when you and I started on this committee, we used to have teams who were in early go and have lunch with kids at the middle schools or the elementary schools. Well, we're going to reinstitute that again this year and have some teams that as they arrive early on that maybe Monday or Tuesday get out and, you know, have a hot dog and a Coke with or a Pepsi with the kids at the middle school, and Buzz Schoenbeck and Paul Kane are going to organize that and get Mr. Juco out there to see him and kind of get the kids excited because it's one of those things. Again, school has been usually out, and now it's going to be in during the week of the tournament for, I think, just this one time. But we'll also have opportunities for kids to come to the, you know, the 10 o'clock game on Tuesday, so that we still have people in the stands and then enjoy that and then call that school work day and get that that experience on that. But other than that, is we have our opening ceremonies. We have, we'll recognize the Home Run Alley heroes, and we'll just do the normal things we do, and it's just fun and a great experience for the family.
Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Chairman Jamie Hamilton with us today in studio on the Jim Davis Show on the team. And, you know, something, yeah, that, you know, these student-athletes that come here, they're involved in Challenger, you know, and now the opportunity once again to go to some of the schools. I just think it's neat that they have a chance to experience. They do community service things in it, where they're from, where they play, but a chance to kind of do that here as well, I think, just adds to their opportunity to learn more as adults and giving back to communities, even a community that they're not from.
Right, exactly right. And what we get, the feedback we get in traveling and talking with guys that played here maybe 22 years ago, is they remember the picnic with the Lions Club, or meeting some people, or signing autographs, and maybe had two games and lost, but they remember just the atmosphere. And it may have, and only been here 3 or 4 days at tops, but just felt like it was you know, 2 weeks of their life. And so we want to make sure we just bombard them with lots of great memories.
It has to be, at least it is for me anyway, and I'm certainly not nearly as involved in running this tournament like you are. But when you hear, when we have a Ken Shelley on, or a Rob Fournier, or a Mitch Thompson, and how much the love that they have in their voice for this place, and coming and playing in this tournament, and the respect they have for being here and being part of this, I'm just always blown away that the accolades that come every time from these guys about coming here, and how important it is for them to get their team here, and how great the experience has been when they've been here, regardless of how they end up doing.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate that I get to hear that more than most people, because of just my travels with the JUCO and the Coaches Association, or emails back because of long-term contacts. But your point's well taken, is the littlest things that fans or volunteers or hosts on the team that do for the coaches and or the players that we really never know about,
right?
But they impact their memory. That's, I guess, the great thing about it. We've always said that it's community-owned, but everybody's empowered to make sure that our visitors to this facility and this tournament feel like kings and queens, and they're taken care of. It's pretty cool.
I know many people have made the comparison to Omaha, the Division I tournament, and how they prefer the experience here. Have you ever had anybody from Omaha, from the NCAA tournament, go, "What are you guys doing that we're not doing?" Which would be fun if they've ever asked you that question.
I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to go to Omaha because they changed the timing on that, and got to see it. I mean, it's a corporate event, and it's big business, and you can feel that. It's still energy of young people, so that's the fun part of it. But they do things similar to us. They have the hosts, and they try to do those things, but it's a little bit more controlled, where we're a little bit more freewheeling and like, okay, do that. As long as nobody gets hurt,
sure,
go ahead and get it done.
Yeah.
So, but no, they never asked.
I just think they probably did, because I don't think that's just not the way that, not the way that they work, but I've heard that so many times over the years, that coaches like a Mitch Thompson that was at Baylor,
right,
and into the World Series in Omaha, here with his team with McLennan, saying, "Look, great experience in Omaha, it's fantastic, but it pales in comparison to coming here and being involved with this, and the fans that are here, and the community involvement in the Junior College World Series."
Well, and you bring a good point. We have just had Wendy, my assistant at the office, not only in my business world but in JUCO, sent me an email just last week as he's coordinating getting the umpires here, and there is a young guy that's coming back here again, and he said, "Thank you for setting up the flight and getting this done." He says, "I want to mention this is my 24th year. I've done 15 World Series, from D3 to NAIA to D2, and got to tell you, it's the best ever." He says, the pressure we feel at other sanctioned events is just doesn't exist here. They're part of the family. I mean, they have a job to do,
right?
But they have as much fun as the players do too. And I just don't know how to put that in a capsule, but that's who we are.
Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series Chairman Jamie Hamilton joining us. Text from Todd Bennett today. Bob's got RV team text line. Takes a lot of the photos of the teams and the action.
Todd does a great job, yes.
We had our question today, which is better, walk-off home run or a game-winning overtime goal in hockey? Walk-off is more exciting to me, and he loves him some you, by the way. Loving him some Jamie Hamilton today, by the way.
Oh, wow, that's too bad.
So be careful, Todd, going back to home run. Todd might come up, and he might try to hug you down in the parking lot or something.
He's done a really good job for us, and takes care of the bubblegum cards and some great action photos that we utilize on our ticket booklets every year and programs and posters. And he has a passion for the game, and you can tell in his pictures how he does with that.
And the cards have been, one of those things over the years. We've kind of touched on a lot of different things today. One of those things that's become a staple of this tournament, where nobody had the time to do it, thought to do it.
Right.
And I know Sean Nichol was involved in that initially so many years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But the cards are just such a big part of the tournament now and part of the fan experience.
Yeah, and it's good. And we have young members of traveling teams or competitive teams that are out there at the ballpark selling them and helping raising money for their organization. But, it just works. That's how we do it. And until Colt Derry messes it up, it's good.
I screw something up.
You're not going to have much more opportunity.
My days are numbered now. So Buckeye boy, congratulations. You might be in the running too.
No way, man. Wait, he's burying everybody today.
you're saying thanks. Yeah. Thanks, but thanks.
I'm really tough when I'm here by myself. So,
of course, you can get your tickets now for the Junior College World Series.
Tickets are printed out. We've got them at all the Alpine Bank locations, Chamber of Commerce, and obviously online, got them down at our facility at 4th and Rood. And actually, we've got some high school teams, and Nate Porter and his team did a great job of selling tickets last year, and it's a little bit of a fundraiser for them. They're out there, so start getting them going.
And of course, we'll have all the games right here on the Team Sports Network.
Counting on it. It's going to be great.
Looking forward to it. Speaking of Nate Porter, we had one of his players on.
I heard the interview.
Jack Moeller from Palisade, our Athlete of the Week. 9 straight. They're playing some great baseball right now out of Palisade.
They're pretty competitive. And Nate gets it. He's getting those guys, and he's got some good assistant coaches out there.
Having Kyle Rowling's not too bad.
Yeah, I was going to say that Kyle and his dad helping him out there, that they're learning the game the right way.
Yeah, and of course, you being a former Mav, and we had the other day I did the game with Montrose and Grand Junction, Justin Little and Landon Wareham, who's back coaching. It was fun getting to do that game, and a couple of former Mavs. Yes. Going at it in that one.
Yeah, well, both of them are good young men. Landon's always been a competitor, and he teaches the game the right way, and he's got Montrose doing it again.
And, of course, keep it on the Mavericks for a moment, number one team right now in collegiate baseball, the poll that really matters when it comes to national rankings. Coming off that dominant series against Adams State, and now it's Highlands starting tonight. And look, there's a time, you and I know, that Mesa Highlands, those turned into sometimes legitimate physical altercations.
I think I was trying to walk a guy out.
That's right, and you were the AD.
Trying to walk the guy out, and he hip-checked me, and Landon Wareham was on the first base coaching box to jump the fence to protect me, and the poor Metro State was in the dugout on the first base side, and we had removed this guy from Highlands that was heckling in the stands, and I'll never forget the look on the Metro State dugout as the entire Mesa dugout came from third base over to the first base area where Landon was trying to protect their coach. And Metro said, "What did we do? They didn't do anything.
We're just playing baseball. We're not doing anything."
Yeah, so it can get pretty feisty between Highlands and the CMU Mavs. So
yeah,
it'll be a good series.
Yeah, they're not as good as they've been. They haven't been for the last several years, but decent offensive baseball team. And look, if you're the Mavericks, you always have the bullseye on your chest when you're the number one team in the nation, defending our MAC champion.
You can't be asleep at the wheel, that's for sure.
No doubt about that. The Rockies have started to turn around a little bit. They've won 3 in a row. And what do you know? When you score some runs, particularly runs in the first inning, Jamie, you got a chance to win some baseball games.
And barrel up like they're doing, hitting the long ball and doing what's going on. And I just talked with one of my associates that They do a lot better when I'm not watching them. When they play 8 o'clock at night, you can't stay up to watch them that long. But, we've talked about it before. It's early, but it's nice to see a good article in the paper today. John Gray has kind of got that confidence back, and he's been in every one of their games and get a chance to really get a system going to be able to utilize their bullpen, because they really haven't been tested just yet. So, guys need to get some more routine, especially when you're a middle relief guy and your closer needs to get there, not once a week, just maybe 2-3 times a week. So they'll get there, and a good series this weekend with Bryce Harper and the Phillies coming in, and the weather's supposed to be halfway decent. So I'm looking forward to them doing what they do best.
Look, and I'm the last person to tell Bud Black what he should do, in particular about pitching. But to me, Tyler Anderson, look, the time has come to stop. He gives you one good start. Of course, he's hurt right now. One good start, maybe out of four. Antonio Sensatella needs to be the guy. They need to decide, and that's the versatility of him has made him so valuable. They just need to put him into this rotation.
I think he's going to get his opportunity, that's for sure. Tyler's he has an awkward delivery anyway, but it looks like it's just hurting even more.
It's painful because of the results sometimes, but also sometimes painful with the delivery. You're just kind of going, that's wonky.
Exactly.
How's he not hurting himself more than what he does?
Exactly right.
Hey, Jamie, always a pleasure.
Thank you
so much.
Keep up the good work.
And if you can find another gig for me now that apparently I'm done.
Well, I'm going to make Colt come in here and tell you. So.
Okay, well,
Colt, he doesn't know anything about it.
Colt's always welcome to come in and talk to us as well. We always appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jamie. And have a happy Easter as well.
Thank you.
All right, Jamie Hamilton talking Juco today. We'll take a break. We'll come back 9:23. All right, Beadleman is not going to join us today like we thought he was going to because of the school lockout situation. It's affected his where he has to go because he does school. He goes recruiting. He goes to schools to recruit students to CMU, and apparently he has to go to do something with that today because they had the lockout the other day. So he told me he has to reschedule. I think he's
Beadle can barely spell CMU. I don't know how he's recruiting.
I think he's You think they would have found a better representative, right?
Yeah.
Than that guy?
Him and his plus six ERA.
Well, fortunately, it's not about his baseball
acumen,
experience or success or lack thereof. It's selling the merits of Colorado Mesa University, which he can do that. If it was about, hey, go and be a terrible baseball player
then
he could probably do that. But
they can put it in a brochure and he can hand it out.
He wasn't that bad. We always like to give him grief. All right, so we will.
Plus six ERA is a legit stat, though.
We will not have Curtis Beadleman today. Hopefully at some point our old colleague, my broadcast partner, will join us
at some point. Is this his payback for us for getting him in March?
Probably. I'm sure it is. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
So excited to get things going. It's the Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
At Grand Junction Affordable Auto Sales, we take pride in every car we sell, whether it's $2,000 or $10,000. We treat each of our cars like we were buying it for ourselves. We have our own service department. We check fluids and brakes, check for any open recalls, check engine light problems. We have them detailed just to make them the best we can before they're offered for sale.
Grand Junction Affordable Auto Sales, one block west of Mesa Mall on Patterson.
Grand Junction Affordable Auto Sales.
We're talking with Dr. Gustafson from Appleton Clinics. One of the big things in our society today is diabetes. Dr. Gustafson, what is diabetes?
Diabetes is defined as a relative deficiency of insulin. There's two types of diabetes. The first kind is type 1 diabetes that typically children and adolescents get. The most common type of diabetes is type 2 diabetes, which is typically adult onset. Over a course of years, diabetes can take a toll on various organ systems in the body. It does things to your heart, can raise blood pressure, can increase risk of cardiovascular disease. Treated, though, the outcomes can be actually very good.
What are some signs to look for if somebody thinks they might have diabetes?
We see people coming in, they're just tired, they're run down, they don't have energy, maybe going to the bathroom quite a bit. They may have blurrier vision. We have patients meet with both our medical physicians and they also meet with our diabetes educator to look at lifestyle changes, things like exercise, weight management, healthy diet.
If you're concerned about diabetes, contact Appleton Clinics today at 242-1566 or go online to appletonclinics.com. They're a great group of family doctors and they know diabetes.
Team Weather.
Sunny today, Grand Junction and Delta high around 68, 63 in Montrose. Tonight, clear and 44.
Tomorrow, sunny and 75. Mostly sunny, 77 Saturday. Easter Sunday, partly sunny and 71.
New message.
Department of the Social Security Administration. The reason of this call is to inform you that your Social Security number has been suspended for suspicion of illegal activity. If you do not contact us immediately, your account will be deactivated. For more information about this case file, press 1 or call immediately our department number.
This is a scam. Thieves are misusing the Social Security Administration's authority and phone schemes to trick you into giving them money or personal information. They state there is a problem with your Social Security number or account. They claim there's been suspicious or fraudulent activity, and you could be arrested or face other legal action. They even spoof SSA's main customer service telephone number on caller ID. Don't believe them. Don't provide any information. SSA employees will never threaten you for information or promise benefits in exchange for information. In those cases, the call is fraudulent. Just hang up. If you suspect you've been contacted by an SSA scammer, call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
Recent trends show crime is on the rise in America. So if you're concerned about crime in your community, your police and mayor's office need to hear from you. Hearing from the public focuses elected officials and police on the issue. When you see graffiti or broken windows in an abandoned building, or someone entering a vacant home, let the police and your mayor's office know. Studies show when vandals see a broken window isn't repaired, they'll break more windows. When they see graffiti isn't removed from a building, they'll add more graffiti. And when people are allowed in abandoned homes, those homes attract criminal activity. When minor crimes are allowed to continue, serious crimes like robbery and shootings won't be far behind. It's never too late to turn your neighborhood around. Be the one to take that first step. Brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more, go to www.nationalpolice.org. That's www.nationalpolice.org.
The Jim Davis Show.
Well, it's amazing, and I love it.
On in Delta 102.1 and Montrose 100.1. The Team Sports Network.
Welcome back, 928. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Jude out of Cruisers. I guess Jude's going to go to Lambeau Field Week 3.
Hey, nice.
Wants to know if we want an on-location correspondent. Jude, we might take you up on that. We just might.
Sure.
Yeah. Entirely possible. So your thoughts on the schedule release, the in-division game, the one that you're looking the most forward to, the one out-of-division game, if you're a Broncos fan, you really want to watch, text us. Bob Scott RV Team Text Line, 970-242-1340, or call us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. That's 970-242-1340. I do want to mention this before we sign off today, that tonight at Fruit of Monmouth, they'll be holding a freestyle wrestling duel between a team of local wrestlers and a team that's visiting from Austria. And so chance to see some of our local wrestlers compete against international competition. Mm-hmm. And wrestling starts at 6 o'clock tonight at Fruit of Monmouth. And it's $5 for adults, $3 for kids, 12 and under. So
I think last year they made the trip out to Austria or Germany. I remember.
I believe you're right about that, wrestlers
went out there.
Sure. But this will be at Fruit of Monmouth tonight. This is from Lucas Archuleta, their head wrestling coach. Fruit of Monmouth tonight, and local wrestlers against international wrestlers, 6 o'clock for that. $5 gets you in the door to see some great wrestling tonight out at Fruit of Monmouth. All right, 9:30. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. I think we're pretty much caught up on the text this morning at the Bob Scott RV Team text line. Get some birthdays coming up in a moment. We'll have garbage time as well in just a few minutes, so we'll get to that. But you know what? Let's go ahead and jump into it. The birthdays this morning on the Jim Davis Show. All right, start things out with celebrity birthdays today, and celebrating a birthday today, one of the Kardashians, Kourtney Kardashian, is 39.
Which one is that one?
I have no idea.
Okay.
She's 39. Wasn't Khloe the one that was married to Lamar Odom? I think she was.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I don't.
Sure.
There's Kim, there's Khloe, there's Kourtney. I don't know them. I think those are the only ones that I've ever heard of.
I know Kim's made a movie or two that I may or may not have seen.
Also, Married to one.
She's Kim West, right?
Yeah, married to Kanye. The British actor David Tennant, who played Doctor Who at one time, is 47 today. He was in, if you watched the Jessica Jones series on Netflix, he was a villain in that for a while. It's been a lot of different stuff. And what, Broadchurch was the BBC show that he was on. That they also did an American version. It was like a crime series. But David Tennant is 47 today.
Thank you for the word for it.
Very good actor. Let's see, also the birthday today of one Conan O'Brien.
Oh, Coco.
Coco is 55 today. I did watch this on Netflix, the Conan O'Brien series where he goes to other countries. He went to Cuba.
Uh-huh.
He went to South Korea, and he went to the border, the DMZ there of North
right.
Korea. He went to the actual room where they occasionally will meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a neutral site, and he went there. It was pretty funny stuff,
can't imagine
actually.
How well that went over.
The ventriloquist comedian, question mark, in my opinion, Jeff Dunham is 56 today. Never quite got into Jeff Dunham stuff. Never totally got it. Sabrina, teenage witch, Melissa Joan Hart, is 42 today. And let's see, I think that's pretty much it as far as the majority of the vote. James Woods. Of course, they love to poke fun at James Woods on Family Guy.
Right. He does his own voice, too,
yeah.
on Family Guy. So he's kind of in on the joke. Eli Roth, the director, his birthday today.
Inglourious Basterds, he had a role in that.
Also,
He did the Bruce Willis one, yeah. Which isn't a bad movie, actually. I was surprised. I thought it'd really suck. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. But, Maria Bello, the actress, it's her birthday today.
Been a lot of different things. Rick Moranis.
Oh,
Honey,
yeah.
I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, the musical with the plant.
Oh,
that.
I can't.
Oh, gosh. Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
He was in that.
America Ferrara, it's her birthday today, too.
Happy birthday to her as well.
Alter Bridge, Creed, Mark Tremonti. It's his birthday today.
Moving
very
on.
Very good guitar player.
Yeah, very good. Moving on to sports, baseball, Billy Butler. Miguel Cabrera celebrates a birthday today. Jim Eisenreich. Steve Blass, the former Pirates pitcher. Didn't Blass have the control issues
mm-hmm.
and lost it after a great start to his career? From basketball, Phil Smith. From football, Derrick Brooks, the longtime outstanding
Who's
inside
my
linebacker.
Favorite player, Mr. Derrick Brooks.
Mr. Derrick Brooks.
Oh, I love that commercial.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, Eric Wright, Pete Gogolak. And as far as auto racing, Jeff Bodine and Valerie Kaminsky, the one-time Av, celebrates a birthday today. There we go. Pretty good day
yeah,
today, birthday-wise. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back, and coming up in a few, we will go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Oh, and we have to do this. Thank you for putting your hand up. Boom, Mr. Davis.
Yep.
Time to play.
Good!
Got a little sidetracked there. All right, today you can win. We double it up on a Thursday. A case of New Belgium beer from High Country Beverage and Qdoba today. You win both if you have the correct answer today. We play the Pile's favorite game on a Thursday, which is...
I am a current Colorado Avalanche player. Only Nathan MacKinnon and Eric Johnson were drafted higher than me. And prior to Mr. MacKinnon, I am the last Av to score multiple power play goals in a series. Who is it?
All right, first correct answer. On the Bob Scott RV team text line. That's 970-242-1340. First correct answer, you win a case of beer from New Belgium Brewery, High Country Beverage, and Qdoba today. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado's sports leader.
The Jim Davis Show. The meat in the broadcasting sandwich.
Ew.
On Grand Junction 101.1 and 1340. The Team Sports Network. Here's the latest from the Team Sports Desk.
Good morning. I'm Jim Davis. Miko Rantanen scored the game winner in overtime as the Avalanche beat Calgary 3-2 last night in Denver. Colorado grabs a 3-1 series lead as they head back to Calgary tomorrow night. For the Avs having a chance to clinch on Friday night, the Team Sports Network will join the game in progress around 8 tomorrow night after Colorado Mesa baseball. The Nuggets look to grab a 2-1 series lead tonight when they head to San Antonio to meet the Spurs. Coverage starts at 6:35 tonight on the team.
Numerous local athletes signed letters of intent on Wednesday. Six Florida Monument athletes signed letters of intent with wrestler Casey Hudson signing with Colorado Mesa. Track and field standout Landry Hansen signing with Concordia University, Irvine in California. And Catarino Otero Sanchez signing to play lacrosse at Johnson & Wales in Denver. Three Wildcat volleyball players signed letters with Campbell Atkins signing with Erskine College in South Carolina. Morgan Lanning with Midland College in Texas. And Gabby Rigsby with Bluefield College in Virginia. Palisade basketball player Zane Haas signed to play at Nebraska Wesleyan. Grand Junction Tigers football player Donovan Andrus will continue to play football at Stoker Stadium. He signed yesterday with Colorado Mesa. Andrus's coach Russ Martin appreciated not only his on-the-field play, but his overcoming a personal tragedy and his dedication to his sport.
When I talked to Coach Martin, he heard my story, and seeing the type of dedication and work ethic that you would need to get through, like, losing your parents and making it through school and playing sports and, like, staying eligible and everything like that takes a different type of person. That's something that he wanted on his team. I'm happy to play for him.
Andrus will play defensive line for the Mavericks.
It's your next game up, the Denver Nuggets on the team.
The Nuggets playoff series heads to San Antonio tonight as they meet the Spurs. Jason Kosmiski with the call at 6:35 tonight. On Friday, it's a Colorado Mesa baseball doubleheader. It starts at 2:45 as the Mavericks host New Mexico Islands. That's followed by the Avalanche taking on Calgary in their playoff series with a chance to clinch. 8 o'clock Friday night on the Team Sports Network.
Colorado sports leader. 101 FM, 1340 AM. The Team.
Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Wrangler Performance Series, denim that's made to move with you. Try out a pair today. Today's birthday shout-out goes to Miguel Cabrera. The Tiger slugger is a lock for first ballot entry into the Hall of Fame. After all, the Venezuelan native who won a World Series ring as a Marlins rookie back in 2003 is an 11-time All-Star, a two-time American League MVP, and in 2012 he became the first Triple Crown winner since Carl Yastrzemski back in 1967. So the four-time batting champion knows a thing or two about hitting. Launch angles have become all the rage in today's game. However, Cabrera is not a big proponent of that. His batting philosophy is simple. Hit the ball hard, look for line drives, and use the whole field. There's plenty of wisdom in that approach for sure, and it's hard to argue with Cabrera's results over the years. So happy 36th birthday, Miggy. Have a great day. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Winter's over, and lucky lawns everywhere are getting Scotts Turf Builder Halts Crabgrass Preventer from the Home Depot. Right now, buy a bag and you'll save up to $25 on a bag of Turf Builder Weed and Feed. Prevent crabgrass, weed and feed your grass, and save up to $25. Guess your lawn not the only lucky one. Today is the day for doing, with savings on Weed and Feed when you buy a bag of Turf Builder with Halts. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. $25 savings on a 43-pound bag. Selection varies by store.
Every morning, the McDonald's kitchen is a symphony. A sizzling, toasty McMuffin symphony. To the egg! While other grab-and-go breakfast sandwiches are kind of one note. It's time to wake up breakfast. Wake up your breakfast with a fresh cracked egg on every McMuffin sandwich every day at McDonald's.
Libby Phillips here in the KMBZ News Center. State and federal law enforcement are trying to put together what led a Florida high school student to get on a plane to Denver, buy a shotgun, and make threats against schools in the Denver area. 18-year-old Sol Pais was found dead yesterday morning. CBS reporting a website belonging to Pais filled with references to depression, isolation, suicide, and guns. The Mesa County Coroner's Office has released the identity of a man killed in a crash on Patterson Road Sunday night. 55-year-old Justin Welsh was not wearing a seatbelt when his car left the road and crashed. The report says Welsh had been drinking and tested positive for THC, although it's not clear how long the THC had been in his system. Grand Junction has a new homeless camping policy for public areas. An ordinance passed last night allows camping when there is no space in local shelters. I'm Libby Pelletier in the KMZZ News Center.
Alpine Bank Junior College World Series coming Memorial Day weekend on the team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody,
I want to go fast.
That's oval,
so
we're
going
to drive straight here. We're going to be firm into the lane.
Green flag, you ready to go in the air?
Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, It's time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford and Nissan. Not just a better, the garage, not just a better deal, better dealership. Get information online at MontroseFordNissan.com. So NASCAR Fred joins us, and Fred, of course, this weekend, for the Easter weekend, everybody has the weekend off in NASCAR, but last weekend, Richmond.
Boy, I thought I had picked another winner. I picked Kyle Busch to win at Bristol, and then picked Clint Bowyer to win at Richmond. Just kind of had a gut feeling, and it came right down to it.
So close.
If Clint could have gotten by Martin Truex when he was right up there door-to-door with him with about 20, 25 to go, I think Clint would have driven away because he actually had a better car. But Martin just did an amazing job of driving to hold off Clint. Clint kind of used up his stuff. He faded back a little bit. Joey Logano got by him, and he couldn't catch Truex either. So
third for Clint Bowyer, though. I mean, you're still
third.
That's not shabby, my friend. That's not shabby at all.
Another pretty good day without a win for Stuart Haas Racing, and another win for Joe Gibbs Racing. Six of the first nine races Joe Gibbs Racing has won this year. That's kind of
very
dominating.
Impressive start to the kind of dominating, and
three of their four drivers have won too. It's not one guy doing everything. That's a big deal.
And for Martin Truex Jr. with the win, moves into the points lead.
Not only that, but talk about getting off the schneid. Everybody had been talking about every time they go to a short track for the last couple of years. Martin Truex Jr. has got this many starts and never won on a short track in the Cup Series. Never won. Well, now he has. He's won on a short track.
So shut up, everybody.
So let's retire that one. 81 short track starts and finally got a win. And like I said, came in a good time. Put him in the points lead. And it's... still thinking about the dominance of these two organizations, Joe Gibbs Racing particularly, but also, you know, Penske has the other three wins. So Hendrick, nothing. Stuart Haas, nothing. Ganassi, Childress, nothing. This is kind of the point in the year, you know, where you get through this first stretch and you get to this off weekend at Easter and everybody kind of takes a deep breath and looks around and says, okay, what's this year looking like?
Yeah.
And
where are we at this stage?
Right. And obviously, you know, so far the big story has been Kyle Busch with three wins and just, you know, not quite as dominating as you might have expected at Richmond. He really wasn't a factor, ended up finishing eighth. But Joe Gibbs Racing in general, they're just hitting on all cylinders. And, you know, obviously Martin Truex Jr. is a good fit with that team.
Absolutely.
Just moved right in there and has won a race already. So Daniel Suarez doing pretty well for himself. The guy who got pushed out at JGR when Martin Truex joined them, he's finished top 10 in majority of the races so far this year and probably get a win sooner or later.
So now that we're into the Easter break, who's been the driver that's had maybe the most surprising start, good or bad, in your opinion?
I was just thinking about, well, Daniel Suarez is certainly one of them. He's a good driver. He's got potential. He seems like a good fit with Stuart Haas Racing, with the equipment and the people and everything. And, you know, he's been running up near the front. He's kind of been, I don't know if it's a surprise, but he's certainly been delivering. Ryan Newman is kind of a surprise. You know, his first year with Roush Racing after a bunch of years with Childress, driving the number six car. Top 10 again this week for Ryan Newman. He finished ninth. And Paul Menard also, that Wood Brothers, of course, I mean, they do have an affiliation with Penske, but still, they're a single car team, you know, and a team with a lot of tradition, too. It's always nice to see that 21 running up front. There's just so much history behind that number. And Paul Menard with another top 10. So those are a couple that are kind of pleasant surprises. So in the other direction, Kyle Larson is just, I don't know, the wheels have literally come off for that team this year. Had another bad day and dropped out of the top 16 in points. So Kyle Larson's going to have to find something. And
I thought this note was interesting from Yahoo about Alex Bowman and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Both have been really good at qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have finishes to back up the qualifying. Bowman's had an average starting position of 13.8, an average finish of 18.3.
Right.
Stenhouse, 13th, but his average finish is 17th.
Yeah. Well,
so,
Ricky keeps running into people. He's got to quit doing that, and he'll be doing better, I think. But I would probably rather have it the other way around. I'd rather start 25th and finish top five.
Yeah.
So somebody like, you know, say, Matt Kenseth comes to mind that was always like that. Never did never was a great qualifier, but on you know, come race time, he was always up there near the front. So, yeah, it's just kind of a different, especially the way that they do qualifying nowadays, you know, and the way you have to set up the car differently for qualifying
sure.
than you do to run well in the race, and it's kind of a question of, do you want to really focus on the qualifying and try to get a upfront starting spot, or do you want to, maybe give up a little on qualifying and lean more towards being good in the race?
In the garage at NASCAR, Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, not just another deal, a better dealership. Get more information, or just stop by and see them. But you can get more information online at MontroseFordNissan.com. What else do you have today?
Jimmy Johnson loves racing so much he did it without his car.
Man's crazy. And people might think he's crazy getting in a race car, but to run the Boston Marathon.
He did say he wished he had his car when he got to Heartbreak Hill.
I bet you he did. I bet you he really wished he had his car at that point.
Well, and Jimmy's done a lot of Ironman triathlon type things over the years, but this was his first marathon, his first full marathon. And why not? If you're going to run a marathon, why not make the Boston Marathon your first?
If you're going to do one, New York City or Boston, those are the ones you want to do.
His bid number was 48-48. That's nice.
Of course,
that's appropriate.
Yeah.
Finished 641st in his division, which is male, age 40 to 44. I don't know how many, I didn't look it up, how many men were in that division, but, he didn't win, he didn't finish last, he had a solid performance, 3 hours, 9 minutes, 7 seconds.
Can we not agree on this program that you finish the Boston Marathon, and I don't care where you finish?
Yeah.
You finish, that's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm totally admit that, yeah. And except for his first full marathon, did quite well. Performance to be proud of.
No doubt about that. I saw
you can finish the Gateway Marathon. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the line, you're doing all right by me.
Yeah, I did see a thing where, step away from NASCAR for just a moment, Teddy Bruschi, the former Patriots linebacker, I think he ran in his third Boston Marathon. That's just insane.
Nice.
And finished once again. Don't know where he finished, but he finished and... For that, I applaud him. And
I'm not
Jimmy
sure I'd
Johnson.
See the point of doing it more than once.
Yeah, I think I did it once.
I survived. I got the T-shirt.
If I did it once, that would be. It's like the time years ago we had the tour of the valley here, the cycling race, and my brother and I rode over the monument. Good enough for me. Rode over the monument one time on a bicycle. Don't ever need to do it again.
I think it's improving your time. I guess that's what it is.
I guess so. If you're that motivated, I don't think any of us are really that motivated. All right, what else do you have, Fred?
Just a couple of notes regarding the All-Star race, which is actually that's getting close. That's mm-hmm. 4 or 5 weeks away now. May 18th, of course, that's the weekend before the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. So the All-Star race at Charlotte on May 18th, and they're going to incorporate a couple of things in terms of the rules package, the aerodynamics and everything that they're thinking about possibly making a full-time deal in a couple of years, in 2021. One of the things is a carbon fiber splitter on the front instead of the metal splitter that they're running. Also, a radiator duct that comes out through the hood instead of the engine compartment. The idea behind that is that there's so many times that with the way the airflow is on these things now,
you're
running somebody down, you get up behind them, and... If they stay in front of you, you can't get enough air to the nose of that car, you're going to overheat and you have to back off. And this is going to kind of address that and it'll create improved aerodynamic parity and at the same time reduce engine temperature. So it'll, the splitter, provide a little bit more stable platform and create more consistent performance in traffic. There's been such a thing this year, even with somebody like Kyle Busch, who's... They're great when they're out front in clean air, as well.
Right.
But maybe they have a slow pit stop or something like that. They come back out there in eighth place. And
Get back in traffic.
And in traffic, the car is junk, and you can't pass anybody, and it looks like it's a completely different car than it was when you were out front. This is kind of designed to address that. Both of these things really are kind of designed to address that a little bit. So, and, of course, along with the rules package that they started with last year and they're going full-time this year, the aerodynamics and drafting, particularly on the mile and a half, it's a lot more of a deal than it used to be. So it'll be interesting.
So some of those changes do going forward, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, they're coming out with a Gen 7 car in 2021 and could be incorporating some of these things. Pretty similar format, except it'll be four stages again. The final stage will be 15 laps instead of 10. going to be fun, as always. $1 million on the line.
That's right. All right, very good. Of course, we have this weekend off. Talladega coming up on the 27th.
Yeah, I'm not going to venture a fearless prediction for Talladega
until next week. Yeah, you will save that. Plenty of time to do a little additional research and get ready for next week.
Get out my dartboard and see who's going to win Talladega.
Blindfold on. Dartboard at the ready. Boop, there we go. And we'll find out next week which driver's dart that you hit. Next
okay.
Week. Very good. Fred, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a happy Easter.
You too. Thanks, Jim.
All right. In the garage, NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. See them today or go online, montroseFordNissan.com. All right. So I was looking at this when it comes to strength of schedule for the Broncos that we haven't really touched upon that, where the Broncos rank as far as their strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
According to this, the Broncos will have the second most difficult schedule in the league. The Raiders, the Broncos, the Jags, the Texans, the Bears, the Chiefs, Falcons, Colts, Tennessee Titans, Vikings.
Now, does that take into account the 4 games in 5 weeks on the East Coast, 11 a.m. on the road? Does that take that into account, or just the quality of your opponents?
It's looking at least what I'm looking at here, that opponents combined 2018 record, opponents combined 2018 win percentage, that those factor in.
See, I totally buy it if you're talking about, you know, when, where, and who. When it's just on the teams on the field, things have changed so much from year to year. Free agency, players can get hurt in training camp, you know, teams with new coaches, things like that. It's all, we don't know anything about these teams. But just based on travel and where they have to play, yeah, that would be a difficult schedule.
Hey, look, the 5-11 o'clock start times, to me, that schedule maybe the most difficult one in the league because of Denver not traditionally playing well in that early window.
Yeah.
So I think last year Denver was, I believe they were 25th in strength of schedule. And they won 6 games last year, so take that into account here, what might happen in 2019.
We did have a winner for who is it? Sean correctly identifying Gabe Landeskog.
Very good. The captain.
Yes.
Remember years ago the controversy about him becoming the youngest captain in the NHL when they were having all kinds of problems?
Yeah.
With Colorado, and the thought was, why not an older
more
guy?
More veteran captain, right.
I think that's turned out as time has gone along.
To be a
really good decision for the Avalanche to go with him as the captain.
I agree. I think he's done a great job.
All right. 9:54. Quick scheduling reminder, by the way. Tonight we'll have the Nuggets, San Antonio Spurs, 6:35. And then tomorrow on the team, well, Friday afternoon baseball for you. Late afternoon, 2:45, the Colorado Mesa baseball team takes on New Mexico Highlands. We'll have both games of the doubleheader tomorrow. And then we will go to Calgary for the Hopefully that will be the clinching game for the Avalanche tomorrow night right around 8 o'clock. All right, let's get to some garbage time this morning.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, just a reminder, we will not be here tomorrow. We are off for Good Friday. Thanks to our bosses.
That was a very Good Friday, yeah.
Thanks to our bosses for that. But as I mentioned, we'll have Mesa Baseball and also the Avalanche tomorrow on the team. All right, I don't know if you caught the story about Rob Gronkowski.
I saw it.
But you saw it about Gronk? That Rob Gronkowski, who, let's be honest, one of the truly original...
Legendary meathead.
Yeah, legendary meathead, that he decided to use the Lombardi Trophy as a baseball bat, and he was goofing around with it, and apparently hit a ball with it, and put a dent, and you can see it. There's a dent in the Lombardi Trophy. He definitely left his mark on the Patriots organization.
See, what the Patriots can do, though, they can stack their Lombardi trophies in a way that doesn't really show that dent. You know what I mean? They can hide it. They can conceal it behind the five other Lombardi trophies.
Yeah. But I think it's great.
I do.
Because it kind of smacks the Stanley Cup, right?
Yeah.
Of something, because you never hear about anything unique, funny, interesting happening with the Lombardi trophy because it's not a cup. You can't drink out of it. You can't put anything in it. But
I still remember the one Champions League winning team in Europe. They were celebrating with the trophy, and they dropped it off the front of their bus, and the bus ran over it. That's just a few years ago. It was hilarious.
That's pretty good. All right. We'll see you back here on Monday on the Jim Davis Show.